welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
866-901-ADAM. Good times. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bubba.
What?
Now, Danny's...
I saw
some smoking outside. Says there's a processor in the lobby.
Yeah, there's a guy downstairs who got a tip waiting to serve Danny his papers.
Oh, really?
Oh, Molly's here for football picks. I love when your dog comes in.
Yeah, Molly's such a sweetie petey. Yeah, there's a guy out there waiting to serve Danny papers, and he mentioned that to me as I was walking in, and then he said, I guess we're going to do this on the air.
Why not?
Why not?
So soon, at some point, here's Danny coming, and the guy is in the lobby, and I guess the process is he just throws some papers at Danny and says, you've been served.
Well, you know what, though? Can I say right off the bat, in my own kind of defense?
Yeah.
Adam, why would you let me appear late with a process server in the lobby? I was just talking to you outside the door, and he said, what's the plan for today? And I said, there's a process server in the lobby.
I just said that.
We said that.
I know, but I don't know, it seems like somebody could have said, come here, I was only right there.
Where were you?
You're on a minute delay. I'm in the hallway taking my business.
Oh, wait, did you just get processed or served?
No, I was just sitting out there waiting for the show to start, but we're on a minute delay. And I didn't think somebody wouldn't come out and go, hey, we're on. So, I mean, my fault.
Oh, wait a minute. But, well, first off, I walked in. The show started when I walked in.
The show always starts when you walk in.
Right. I mean, not because I start the show, just because that's when the show starts. I mean, my timing's that good.
Right. It's not your fault. But, I mean, just yesterday, your opening words were, why is the show starting so late?
We were a minute late yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed that.
But not because of you.
No.
I'm not accusing you of anything. I was just saying, as a pal, you could have gone, dude, you should look on time today. Since, I don't know, just, I don't want to look bad.
No, but what I'm saying is I passed you in the parking lot. I didn't know if the show started in 30 seconds or a minute and 30 seconds when I passed you. I assumed you knew. I thought you came in and went back out.
15 minutes. Well, 10 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, Danny's got a suitcase here. And so he can change clothes from the gym.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. So I didn't know.
No, not your fault. I mean, I'm sorry.
No, I'm
not.
I'm just explaining to the people listening. I didn't know when the show starts. I just come in and sit down, and I usually hear the opening music as I'm walking into the kitchen. That's how I know when the show starts. And it starts at slightly different times every morning,
right.
30 seconds one way or the other. But I can't get you once the show starts, because then the show's starting. But I said, you're here.
Okay, good.
And
I appreciate that.
You're not late. You're here, and there's a process server that's standing out in the lobby.
Okay, good.
So those are the things we cover.
Even though, and I've been told, of course, not to comment, which means, of course, I will comment. I would hope if the guy has a sense of humor, we can just get this done on the air.
Yeah. How did we find out he was here in the first place?
We got a tip. Producer Angie got a tip from somebody who saw him in the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple phone calls later, we found out he was waiting for Danny. Obviously, Danny doesn't come up through the lobby.
Mm.
But eventually, you know, you're going to be served. You might as well be served on the
air.
Unless you want to dodge him.
And also, being served for something you didn't do. You're not really guilty of is not so bad.
Here, you know how great my day is going? Although, again, I don't know the guard. Well, Gail Cohen is my divorce attorney.
Huh?
Just the salt of the earth. She doesn't want anything from Gretchen that she shouldn't have to give me. She doesn't want to give Gretchen anything that she didn't earn. Everybody wants to walk away happy. She actually gave me this big speech about how she does family law the way we do radio. I didn't want to break her bubble. Because we love it, and it's our passion.
Mm-hmm.
I just really like her. But then I remembered, didn't Robert Shapiro break my nose?
He tried,
didn't he? No, broke
it. Or he did.
Blood, yeah. Cost me $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a charity. I said, no, not one word to the guy. I said, great, fine, because he's 65.
Right.
A 65-year-old man gives you a bloody nose. I should sue him for embarrassing the bejesus out of me.
Right.
I don't say a word. You know why I don't say a word?
Why?
Because Shapiro's a real guy. He'd have never said a word to me. He'd have walked to his restroom, packed his nose, and gone home.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have said, good fight, and that would have been that. I realized...
Packed it with gauze, not packed it up and gone home. Although, I don't know, do Jews carry their nose separately?
I carry it in a satchel.
Get a rabbi on the phone. Let's figure out if there's some sort of Jew nose sack.
And then I realized for his brother's charity, which is just an amazing charity, I'd forgotten that I've also agreed to fight a different guy, not a champion, but a pro, in Vegas on January 25th.
Well, hold on one sec. As far as the divorce attorney goes... Gail's a good person.
Wonderful.
She's your divorce attorney. The guy serving the papers...
It's just some guy doing his job.
Right.
Who we should invite. I'm trying to remember how we got from the papers to the divorce attorney, but...
I can tell you.
Tell me.
Because she said... I called Robert Spiro's office, knowing he likes me. We're friends.
Right.
Then I called Gail, and I said, I called Robert Spiro's office. I'll wait to see what he says. She wrote back saying, you know what? Why don't you wait? There's no case here. This might just all just blow away.
Divorce attorney talking about this litigation with Johnny Fairplay.
So then I call Robert, Mr. Shapiro, back, even though he insists I call him Robert. I call Mr. Shapiro back, and I say, I just want to lay low because it looks like this whole thing might blow away. The whole world says there's no case here.
Mm-hmm.
The whole world. And he says, I concurrently agree, but we sit around the office and have a very good time watching it over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says this. I am not a civil attorney. Attorney, there's a woman here. I wish I remembered her name. Who is great at that kind of stuff. That's what she does.
Mm-hmm.
I will act as co-counsel, meaning backup counsel. Robert Spiro is going to be my secondary attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I got to be honest with you. I know you broke my nose, and you know you're going to have somebody break my nose again, January 25th mm-hmm. or 25th. What's the breaking of my face twice discount?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, no, don't worry. The woman that's great at the civil lawsuits will be pushing the papers, will be doing the work, doing the hard stuff. But when you walk in that courtroom, you're going to walk in with your attorney and friend, Robert Shapiro.
Produccio?
Ah.
Oh, I don't think so.
No, he's going to charge
really?
You?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, first of all, the fight, January 25th.
Mm-hmm.
I wear a big robe that says I'm only allowed to cross state lines because of legal Zoom.
I see. Yeah, little golden palace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be here tonight if it weren't for LegalZoom. Something like that. You know, says that completely pro bono.
Right.
That's worth a lot of dough. Plus, I can do his spots, whatever he wants.
That's good news that you will be represented in part by one of the best attorneys in the country.
Had I killed Mr. Fairplay.
Yeah, he's good at that. Well, should someone go down to the lobby and get server guy?
Yeah, should we tell Angie? Maybe after the break, we can. Danny will be served. Angie's nodding that possibly this can happen. Have you ever been served before? I've actually been served.
And
it was the most frightening experience ever.
I
love that.
I've been.
I know. I wasn't expecting it.
What was his name yesterday? Christopher Titus, who is a hard guy, said this was the worst day of my life. And I'm looking at him like going, that's every other Tuesday, man. You got to toughen up a little bit. You got to travel with some harder company.
Molly's making a little shaking. Jingle, jingle, jingle down there. Hey, Mike.
Mike.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Well, hold on a second. I know what Brian's going to play. Hey, Dad?
Yeah, hello?
Hell yeah.
Mike's yeah, hello was very reminiscent of my dad's hello.
Great.
I know Mike. I know Mike.
Hey, Mike?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, look out.
I'm so nervous, Adam.
Why?
I hate being on the radio. I'm always afraid of being embarrassed.
Sure, that's why you call every day.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, well, you'd be surprised, man. It takes a lot of my energy.
Yeah, I wish I was surprised now and again. I'm usually just disappointed. You know, people go, you'd be surprised, and I go, nah, I'm done with that. Yeah. I'm now just disappointed.
Man. I would be bored.
There's a great comic. It might have been Kimmel. Mm. I mean, not Kimmel. Who's the guy who had cancer?
Schimmel.
Might have been Schimmel who said he read a newspaper article, and it said, many people were surprised when the airplane crashed into the hotel seventh floor, killing everyone.
Right.
Right. Yeah, right.
And his joke was, how many people on that floor weren't surprised?
Right.
That they just looked up and went, damn, Betty, I wouldn't be one damn bit surprised if that plane just flies right through this window. Wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Hey.
Okay, Griffin, go get your breakfast, okay?
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
You talking to your imaginary friend or the dog that tells you to kill?
Hey, man, my name isn't David Berkowitz.
Yeah, buddy.
Son of
very,
Sam.
Very lucid. So, Mike, are you in Portland?
No, sir. I'm in Tualatin, Tualatin, Oregon, sir.
Hold on. Did Molly fart? Well, it's all right. There's plenty of ventilation in this room.
I'm locked in a room. with three guys and a gassy dog.
You know, it's weird. Molly must get nervous. She must get the nerve gas or something in here, because I've heard complaints before, but she doesn't break wind at home. Oh, or at least I don't notice it. And I'm not one of these guys that's like, oh, I can't tell the, you know, smell of my own whatever, the dogs. I love Molly. Oh, no. I smell other people's stuff, even the ones I love.
My eyes are watering.
Hey, those protein drinks at this hour in the morning.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, do you like to gamble? Do you guys like to gamble?
Every time I pick up the phone.
Hey, listen, man, I'd love to send you, my wife and I, we cast lead dice, and we sometimes play, like, dorky role-playing games and stuff, but it got me into playing craps, man, and I hit a lucky streak, so I got a couple of bucks in my pocket, and I just wanted to make sure I had everything ready, because the only thing that I respect more than my breath.
Sounds like you have mental problems, man.
Sure. I do, man. I do. I have anxiety disorder sometimes, and sometimes I get panic attacks.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
We could talk about lead dye all day long, but I'd like to talk about your wife.
Okay, are you ready?
How long have you been married?
I wrote something down on a card, and I wanted to read it to Danny Bonaducci, because I can't read so good sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Someone stole my glasses, so I can't read so good.
I feel like Mike has been to the Groundlings or something.
I'm feeling a little performance art here.
No, I'm not an actor.
Well, we're not saying that. That's the problem.
Yeah, if you were an actor, we wouldn't be bringing up the fact that you're an actor.
I wish you weren't a liar.
Pacino over here is a little transparent this morning.
I like that Will Ferrell stuff that you drop, man. It makes me laugh.
I just wish you weren't a liar.
But you know what? Bad acting or not, go ahead and read your Bonaducci prepared statement.
Danny Bonaducci, I just got married about a month ago, and I'm not allowed to say the initials of the certain meeting groups that I go to sometimes when I've got problems, but these toothless, methly people they keep relapsing in front of me, and yet they can't help me, and my sponsor died.
That's good work.
I'm so scared, Danny. Danny, if you hang up on me, that's fine. I'll just write you an email. I'm so freaking scared all the time.
A, they don't trust me with the phones, so I cannot hang up on you no matter how much I will it to happen.
Right.
And B, if you're legitimate, if you send me an email or a MySpace, I do this a lot. Hey, I got an idea. Hey, Mr. I Don't Want to Get Sober, why don't you listen to the sober guy? Okay.
I'm a sober guy. I'm sober today. I've been sober for a long time, sir. But I'm so scared because I got these kids I got to take care of.
Well, if you're a meth head, you're going to lose them. That's all.
I'm not a meth head, sir.
What are you? And stop calling me sir.
I have to. I go on reflexes sometimes. And when I was in the Navy, I got into a lot of trouble. I got kicked out for forgetting things sometimes. I mean, I drank too, but it's been a long time since I had a drink.
I'll tell you what, in my opinion, Mr. Kroll, I know it says your name on the door. Mm. This is a private matter for this poor young man.
Mm-hmm.
If you would like to contact me, sir, I do this all day long because I have no life.
I don't want to write Steven Tyler. I hate that guy.
I don't care what you like. I care what you don't like. Write me at MySpace/Bonaducci318. If you don't get me, do it again, because I do get a lot of mail. I will indeed talk to you about this. Shut the F up when I'm talking to you.
He's trying to help.
I'm trying to. That's the way they helped me, man.
Listen, Mike is in AA Actors Anonymous.
Right. If you really want some help, because I don't have time to waste on Mr. Corolla's show fooling around with some guy. If you need help, I promise you I will help you the best of my ability. MySpace is MySpace/Bonaducci318. I answer as many people as I can. I will look for you. I will do what I can for you. I promise you that, okay?
All right, Mike.
Thank you. Good luck, man.
Good times, everybody.
I don't mean to be insensitive, but isn't it painfully obvious that Mike's a phony?
Well,
comes and goes for me.
Comes and goes for me, too. The thing about Mike is Mike does seem like a phony. On the other hand, he brings up crazy random things, and they're so random. That's the only thing that gives me any kind of cause to believe.
There's one more thing.
Hmm.
when you first go to those places with initials, you don't want to believe you belong there. So you make jokes about them, you make fun of them, you act, oh my God, my life is so much more than yours. You just want to kind of make fun of them and taunt them. Mm-hmm. Because, and then you realize you're just as sick and effed up as they are. And then you get into it. So I'll give him, I'm 50-50 on this guy. But I will always, well, not always, because I really want you to know, and don't get mad at me. I get so many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of letters a day. Mm-hmm. If you're about to write me, and I go up and I use the restroom, mm-hmm. and I come back, you could be 20 pages away and I'll never have seen you.
Mm-hmm.
I get letters all the time. I've written you 20 times. You've never answered back. You say you answer. It means I never saw you.
Right.
When I say I answer all my mail, I mean, I don't have a PR
all
agent.
The one you
I don't
see.
Have a secretary. I don't have anything. I answer all my mail personally. That's all I meant. Not that I see, not all of the mail. Mm-hmm. If it's answered by me and says, respectfully, Danny, or love, Danny, I wrote it, not somebody on my payroll.
Right. Because so, you don't have a payroll.
Damn freaking rot anymore, I don't.
Oh, Gretchen.
She's got the maid. She's got the house. She's got the life. She's got the vagina. She's got everything I want.
Thanks for bringing that up, T.
Sorry.
All right. We need to take ourselves a break because, well, two things. Sean Astin is calling in. He's got a movie coming up. We'll talk to him in a second. The guy who's serving Danny's papers evidently left, but says he'll be back. So we'll keep you posted on that. And as far as Mike, the crazy guy that Danny half believes and Teresa wholeheartedly doesn't believe, I believe 20%. The problem is when people are in trouble, it's like a 911 call. You could think it's a hoax, but if it's a serious situation, then that 10% is still enough to send a car out. Do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So it's like once in a while people used to call love lines and go, I have AIDS, and we could tell they were full of crap, but it's such a serious situation that
somebody
you have to treat
AIDS,
it that way.
Right.
You know,
right.
The thing for me is that I'm going to err on the side of caution. You know, my wife, the way I ride my motorcycle, all sorts of things that I do not err on the side of caution. Drugs and alcohol not only ruined my life, but made me hideously, figurously ugly. My eyes were gone. I couldn't eat anymore. I was always sick. It was the worst thing that ever happened to me till I got sober, and then my wife realized she couldn't forgive me for all the stuff I did when I was drunk. But the pictures of me in the paper laid in the street and stuff, mm-hmm. that's more than someone should have to bear. And if I could help in any way, shape, or form, I always will. I promise you that.
Go ahead.
Yeah. For every drunk, though, that writes me and wants help, hot chicks. I insist on that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't do this stuff for free.
Or if you have a sister,
what is it? Gas, grass, or ass? Nobody gets sober for free.
it's
called 13 stepping.
When the friend of Bill W. is rocking. Don't bother knocking. All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break. Be back with Sean Astin next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Here's what's coming up this morning with our program director, Jack Silver.
Make it rain, peeps! Today, from Rudy and Lord of the Rings, Sean Astin! The Ace Man goes off in This Week in Rage! We'll talk to a bunch of weirdos who are selling crap on Craigslist! A new round of Rich Man, Poor Man! And we're gonna give away tickets to our huge Halloween Playboy Mansion show! All you gotta do is email us a picture of your giant head! That's it! Hey, Ace Man, in that case, Little Jack might be attending the party, if you know what I mean! Well, the last time I sent a picture of him to somebody on the internet, it turned out to be Chris Hansen! Wait!
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, a little bit earlier in the week, we had Tom Arnold in here talking about this movie. The movie I remember when my movie was over at Tribeca, because they did a little ESPN sports section this year in Tribeca. Sean Astin, are you there?
I'm here, baby.
Great to talk to you. The Final Season is the name of the movie. It's out today, right?
It is indeed. It's out tonight, and we'll see how it does. I'm kind of on the edge of my seat, actually.
True sports movie, right?
Absolutely. In the best tradition of sports movies, it's inspirational, heartfelt kind of movie. It's high school baseball, realistic high school baseball, which I don't remember seeing, actually, in a movie.
Why would a Sean Astin be on the edge of his seat about a true story and something he believes is a good movie? It can no longer, at this point in your career, hurt your career if it's not a huge moneymaker? You're going to be good.
This is a most excellent question, kind sir. I have more personally invested in this independent movie, independently distributed, than I've had in any of the major studio films I've been in. And you know, this is the first movie I've ever done where my involvement helped get the film financed.
Well, so you're a baseball fanatic, right, Sean?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean,
like the San Diego mascot?
Implies that I know all the stats, but I love baseball, and I played, you know, Little League and high school baseball, and I love baseball. There
we go. Yeah, I think I've seen you and your brother at almost every one of those Hollywood All-Star games.
Exactly.
That is
the one where I actually did well at.
I did, although I had about a 5-year absence because I was banned for arguing with my coach the first year I played. But
Sean, you play the coach in this movie, yeah?
I do. I play the replacement coach for the legendary Jim Vanskoy. Do you know the story?
We got a little bit from Tom Arnold, but go ahead and refresh us.
Well, for the audience to tune Tom out because they can't say I'm funny.
By the way, you never get a little bit from Tom Arnold.
No.
I'll give you the fast version. It's just about a small town in Iowa with a high school baseball team with an incredible record. They won 19 out of 23 state championships, and which is just unheard of. And it's even more insane when you realize that the school had less than 100 students from a town that with less than, you know, 600 people in it, and they beat all the big schools in the state, you know, year after year after year. And what happened was the school got closed down in 1991 because the state board wanted to absorb the rural farming schools into kind of the larger school districts. And that, you know, might have been financially really good, but what was lost was this farming community lost its identity. The town is essentially a grain silo, train tracks, a cornfield, and this one baseball diamond. And it's about the final season when they fired the coach, the legendary coach who had 8 state titles and 1 national high school coaching title, which is unbelievable for a town of that size. And because he was kind of fomenting rebellion against this merger of the schools, and they gave this the reins to his assistant coach, a guy who was his assistant coach for half a year of the 1990 season, and he'd never really coached baseball before that. And it's about what happens to the team in that final.
Is that your character?
That's my guy. Yeah, it's Kent Stock.
And what year does this take place?
Well, the second to last season is 1990, so the movie starts kind of in the second half of that year, and then the final season of the team and the school is 1991.
When I played in high school, although it was my freshman year, I wasn't on the varsity team. Our varsity team beat Daryl Strawberry's team, who, by the way, pitched against our team.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he pitch to you? Did you hit against him?
Played for Crenshaw. No, I was on the JV team because
when I played JV, I actually got called up to varsity for one of the playoff games because as a short relief pitcher. So,
Wish I would have, but we beat Strawberry's team and then went to the Dodger Stadium to play and then lost.
That's the best.
But Strawberry hit a dinger at Dodger Stadium when he was in high school because they played in the early game.
Yeah.
And so, Sean, if you ever want to beat anyone who knows everything about baseball in a little trivia competition, I always just say, what's the first major league ballpark Daryl Strawberry hit a home run at? And they start thinking
Let me answer. It's Dodger Stadium.
That's right.
You're asking me right now. Okay, I'm sorry.
The point is you'll beat a lot of guys that know a lot about baseball with that little piece of trivia there because he was still in high school.
Hey, I thought he was out of New York anyway, but...
No, he was, he went from Crenshaw right to the Mets. But Sean Astin, that is, this movie, you didn't write it, but somebody handed you the script a while ago and it became your baby?
Well, the movie is an Iowa movie. The guy who wanted to make the movie read the story in the newspaper. Tony Wilson read the story in the paper in 91 right after the game, and he spent the rest of from then till now trying to get it made. And it was about 2.5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, that he and his colleagues approached me to be in the movie. And I believed in it when I heard it, and kind of committed to the movie. And that they were able to raise the rest of the money they needed, and we went and made it. Wasn't easy, but we got the movie done. And so yeah, it's
here it is, it's tonight, it's this weekend. You know, it's, because it's not a major studio film, if it doesn't do well this weekend, I mean, it's going to be a good video movie, a DVD movie, there's no question about
it. Right, but it has to have a good on-screen average or per-screen average in order to come around the next weekend and the following weekend. And look, everybody, stop going to all those crappy movies that get horrible reviews and have big budgets. If you see, if you pass more than five billboards for one movie, that means you shouldn't go see it this weekend.
How dare you? If I can get off subject for just 1 second, the whole world knows that your mom is Patty Duke. I believe she won an Academy Award for Helen Keller, correct?
Is this Slugger I'm talking to?
Yeah.
She did for...
Wait, I can't believe I just answered to that. Is this Chewy? Yeah. All right, whatever.
It was a double entendre.
I got you, buddy. Believe me. Believe me. The process server in the lobby got you, too.
I didn't get that.
I'm not kidding. But everybody knows your mom is Patty...
For playing Helen Keller in The Miracle Worker in like 1960, mid-60s, something or other.
Actually, she beat out my TV mom, Shirley Jones, for some other movie.
Did she really?
Yeah, she did. And she was very polite. But my question is actually about your dad, who played, what was the character on The Addams Family?
Gomez.
Do most people know what a funny, funny man he was?
I would say after a lifetime of hearing people ask if, you know, he always stands on his head smoking a cigar and blowing up toy trains, you know, in person, that most people get a sense of that.
Okay, you know what?
That he teaches drama at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, and he's like a serious, you know, Shakespearean dramatic actor, so people kind of don't believe him.
You know what that question was? That question was the acting equivalent of, hey, sing the theme song to the Partridge Family. Apparently, everybody knew and just wanted to do it, and I apologize.
Shirley Jones at the Hollywood Bowl, and I just love your mom.
Thank you. So do I.
I wish I had a TV mom.
Go drink it with my real mom, though. It's more fun. She sings in gay bars every Wednesday night.
Awesome.
Swear to God, it's bitching. She's 86, sings in gay bars every Wednesday.
Hey, Sean?
It's a lament. It's Danny Bonaducci lament.
What's going on with the Lord of the Rings? I don't... keep up enough to know if there's going to be another one or that's it.
Big scuttlebutt is that the director and the studio are resolving their legal differences and whatever, and that they're going to get together and make The Hobbit, which was more popular than The Lord of the Rings for
right. Time.
Yeah.
If they do that, then I will have been proven correct, because I've said, you know, for years that there's no question in my mind that they would do that.
And you will probably be a part of that?
No, my character isn't in, you know, Samwise Gamgee, who I played in Lord of the Rings, isn't in The Hobbit. His father, Gaffer Gamgees, is the gardener to the main Hobbit in that story, Bilbo. So, but unless Peter Jackson wanted to, like, you know...
Well, they can do whatever they want, right?
Yeah, he could do that, but I don't expect it.
Play
but
baseball player in the new one.
Just so you know that your character in Lord of the Rings is almost exactly my height and shape. Mm-hmm. So, if you think maybe I can play your cousin?
Well, I think the next time you have a wrestling match, you should pick somebody your own size.
Body double for
I know. Don't pick somebody twice your size.
All right. Sean Astin, the final season out tonight, this weekend.
I'm going to see it and support his film.
I'll do that. Even if I do want to see it, I want you to know that. But if I were not that interested, I'd go spend my $9 so he got credit that somebody went and saw the movie, because you're a real nice guy, man.
When you see the movie, you plunk down your $9, it's gonna be a cynicism litmus test.
Ooh.
There's a lot about the movie that at first glance might seem kind of corny, but when you come in, I want to see if you're like, you know, I'm gonna tune in and hear if you liked it or if you just couldn't stand the corn quality.
I love corny. I loved Rudy.
I love corny. If corny's true, then I'm good.
My girlfriend and I just had a cynicism chlamydia test, and they're not the same thing. Not as fun at all.
Sean just...
Sean's publicist just hung up.
That'll happen.
Publicist hung up. What's going on, Teddy?
Teddy,
pot yourself up if that's possible. I can't hear you.
Yeah, Bill just potted me up. I'm good.
Oh, okay. The publicist hung up?
She was threatening that she was like, 10 seconds. 10 seconds, and he's off.
You know what I don't like about that is that was a nice boy, and it makes him look like he hung up on us, and he did not.
Look, anything evil, anytime you see evil, there's a publicist nearby.
You know, I've never had one.
I don't even mean celebrities. You haven't.
I've never, or
it's always with the nice guys, too.
I've never had a manager, ever.
Yeah, you don't need any.
I can't keep myself out of the papers. What do I need a PR agent for?
Well, you're your own best whatever.
You know what's weird? Occasionally they insist on sitting in here. Like yesterday, Molly Sims, who I fell in love with when she was here, her publicist was sitting on a stool 3 feet away from her, and I didn't know, why does she need to be here?
Yeah. Here's the thing.
What's Molly Sims going to say? What's she going to do, tackle her when she says something?
I'm not going to get going on publicists because you guys know how I feel about publicists. Publicists get paid a lot of money for almost nothing.
How much?
Oh, they can
$2,000 a month to start.
They could get like $3,000, $4,000 a month. I don't know what George Clooney's publicist makes. I don't know what everyone's, but let's just say $3,000-$4,000. You know, mortgage payment, no problem.
No problem.
No problem for a mortgage payment a month. They don't do anything. Now, when you don't do anything, it's important to not do it nearby.
Yeah, I got it.
You see, if right. you're in the other room talking on the cell phone, which you could easily do because your model's just going to come in here and plug her project, so who cares? If you're in the next room talking on a cell phone, then someone says, why am I paying you $4,000 a month to talk on your cell phone? But if you sit and do nothing 5 foot behind the person, making everyone in the room nervous, then you've warranted your exorbitant paycheck.
Almost like a program director.
Although, you know what? I'll bet if I...
Not quite that bad. Come on, baby.
Let me see how you feel about this, though. Say she has a publicist and a secretary and something else, and they all want to come in and lean up against that back wall. I show off. I think I do a better show. There's people in here, and you can hear them laugh or not. You can tell how you're doing. I like people in the room.
I do, except for she didn't laugh or smile the entire
time. Oh, no.
We should have called her on it, totally. What are you doing in our show with your guest?
Maybe she
sucking.
She should have called us on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, we didn't make. We're the ones who didn't make her laugh or smile.
And I refuse to identify their identities, but according to what I've heard, the funniest man and the second funniest man in radio are in this room. One might be taller than the other. That's all I've heard.
Brian, since when did you become the second funniest man in radio?
Wow, that demotes you to number three, Adam?
All right, nobody said that. Nobody said we're the first and second funniest guys in radio.
No, you said it as a joke when they first hired me.
Oh, okay.
Remember? Because you said it right to my face, too, and I knew immediately, oh, I like this guy.
We need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, I think some unfinished business from the end of the show yesterday. We got some Playboy tickets to give away. I'm trying to put together my ace team.
And I got a little surprise for you.
Dandy's got a surprise.
About the Playboy Mansion.
Ooh. All right, well, we'll unveil that surprise. Also, I'm looking for guys with the big head, the big cabeza. As we talked about yesterday, it's all relative. Everything in life is relative. You're fat if you're 215 pounds and you're hanging around with Lance Armstrong and Matthew McConaughey with shirt off riding bikes. If you're 215 pounds and you're hanging around with a bunch of 600-pounders, you are the flyweight of the group. You are Tinkerbell. You understand? It's all relative. I want a guy with a huge, big, fat head and face to stand next to me because I'm going to be taking a lot of pictures. And I don't want to be the guy with the big head in the picture. There's nothing worse than being the guy with the big head. No matter what pictures are taken, that's how it works. When there's like five guys or have like the whatever, and then Al Gore's in the middle, your eyes go right to Al Gore because he has a big head, and he's standing next to Jimmy Carter, who has the peanut head. Pardon the pun.
Anybody with a big head should call.
Yes. 866-901-ADAM. We also, I guess, are going to be going over some of the folks that called in yesterday. But if your head is big, you're going to the Playboy Mansion with me. Bonaducci's got a surprise, and we'll take a break.
In 2006, The Adam Carolla Show went to the Playboy Mansion for Blotto in the Grotto. This year, Adam wants to assemble a crew of crack party commandos. So if you're a party veteran and you want to crash the Playboy Mansion, call 866-901-ADAM and maybe you can join the Ace Team.
Yeah.
Did you really say you wouldn't put together a crack team?
Yeah.
Captain!
Danny's captain of the crack team. Well, first off, the guy who does the internet here, you remember him. He's the guy who used to sit around writing horrible things about the show, about how the show should be gutted and how everyone should be fired and how Opie and Anthony are going to be taking over for us any day. That,
he's
of course, was a year ago. He's the guy who Jack Silver pays to do, who run our website, who, while he was being paid to run our website, sat around and wrote horrible, horrible things about the show and about how everyone should be fired. writing about everyone who's bad, and who the pussy Jack Silver never fired. I don't know why. Maybe there's something going on
picture
that I'm not aware of.
It's got to be a picture with a girl. I'll tell you this.
There's
when I first
a picture
got here,
of a girl, yes.
When I first got here, Teresa told me about this guy.
Right.
His code name. And I said, do I know him?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, yeah. And I said, have I been friendly with him? She said, I'm not sure. And I said, you have to tell me if I'm friendly with him. Now, I would never, ever, ever commit an act of violence. I might make that completely clear right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I would also never, you know, I told you, and I'm not joking, and maybe it's a sad statement. You're probably my best friends, all of you.
I mean, no. I mean, yes.
I live up the street. Have you ever seen my schedule? I work four jobs a day. You're the people I see.
Mm-hmm.
I know you. I know about her romantic life. I know about Brian's transformer.
You
know?
Yeah.
But with Adam, I know his kids, his dog, his wife.
Into a woman after the streetlights
okay.
come on.
So you guys are my
yes.
best friend. And when I heard about this,
uh-huh.
I said, if I've been friendly with the guy, I'm not that good at that. If I have not been friendly with this cat yet, point him out to me, and I will explain to him in great detail the mm-hmm. error of his ways.
Well, he's cool now.
Well, that's what happened. Apparently, I know him. I still don't want to know who he is. I don't know who he is.
You wouldn't know him, and you're fine not to, and I don't really know him either.
I'd bounce him. I would bounce him off something.
Know him as the guy who wrote horrible things about the show.
About his own employers.
On the website he was supposed to be working on.
He posed as a listener.
While he was supposed to be working on. He didn't do it when he got back to his apartment that night.
Here.
He did it from here while he was working on it.
On a show, yeah.
Yeah. And that's fine. There's plenty of people. Look, there's folks that do stuff that's not good at work all the time.
Sure.
They steal things from work. They threaten people at work. They sexually harass people at work.
There was that one rumor that said, I wish Adam would be quiet, Banny Bonabucci, but it was totally not me.
Here's how that works. You find out who's been stealing. You find out who's been parking in the boss's parking space or who's been sending threatening emails to co-workers, whatever
eating
it is,
food.
You find out who they are, and then you fire them. That's how that works.
Yeah.
Now, for some reason, Jack Silver, who likes to fire people, didn't want to fire the guy who was writing horrible things about this show for many, many months.
Oh, sweet irony!
It's a wonderful message to send to the people who work on the show.
Yeah.
And I love that kind of confidence, Jack, so keep it up, buddy. All right.
Oh,
and
by the way,
I have no idea why. We all assume it's not because he's good at his job.
No,
so
yeah.
We assume there's something going on. Jack has some sort of alliance with the guy, or he doesn't get paid. Maybe he just gets paid in swag.
No, I had that partner once in another city of another gender
mm-hmm.
who got paid $1.2 million. In
mm-hmm.
other words, in the way I like to say, because it sounds like more money, this person made $100,000. A month.
Right.
Doesn't that sound like a lot of money?
Yes.
And everybody hated this man. I'm going to say man. This man would spit on people's faces, their bosses.
Uh-huh.
And nobody would fire. He walked off the air twice for 30 days with no warning.
Is this Bamy?
Mm-hmm.
This could be Bamy. I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And no one ever let her go. And then they let me go and the show tanked, so they dumped the whole show. But she went on for years, or he did, for years spitting on people. She bit the CEO till he bled at our first meeting and wasn't kidding. He was trying to shake her off like a pit bull, and she never got fired. There's pictures somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I assume. So I assume there's some pictures of Jack that Death Dog has somewhere.
Or at least
the negatives
there. I thought when he was caught red-handed, I figured we'll never see that guy
again.
Well,
we busted him on the air.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't figure it out.
We had a lie detector.
We had the lie detector guy come in and bust him, and he's got to laugh his ass off every day.
I'll tell you what's awkward. His fake personality that was supposed to be a listener would frequently... He hated everybody, and he hated the show, but he especially hated me. And now every day when I leave, he's outside smoking. I got to see the guy every day and wave to him like, oh, you're the guy that wrote those mean things about me pretending to be Beth Bog.
Yeah, so
he's out there smoking. I know him.
Again, what a great work environment for me.
He wrote horrible things about the show. I don't know anything about computers. The only thing I know is he doesn't know anything about computers because everyone tells me how horrible he is at his job. But Jack Silver won't fire him.
Let's not rush to judgment. Let's wait for all the facts to come in.
Yeah.
On work time.
What a leader, Jack. What a message. Thanks for the vote of confidence.
Can somebody escort me to my car after the show today?
It's all right. He doesn't show up until noon anyway.
Oh, wait. Just what I need.
Anyway, the reason we got started on Death Dog is because he was supposed to give I know, but really, Jack is worse than he is. Because he's just another crappy employee.
Right.
I mean, every business has crappy employees that do horrible things. You're supposed to fire those crappy employees.
How about this for a diabolical plan? I think I just figured out Silver's thing. Right. So if Death Dog has incriminating photographs, Silver keeps them around because if he wants to put them on the internet, it'll take months to get them on any site.
Ah,
right.
Nice. Very good point. Well, how did we get onto this? Well, how we got onto this is Death Dog was supposed to give Mike some internet whatever so we could see, so we could access the pictures of the guys with the big heads, although he never gave him the access code. So we don't have that access code, so we can't see the pictures from yesterday, but we can talk to the newbies, the new batch of massive cabezas who are calling in now, who want to go to the Playboy Mansion, who all you have to do, you can get as drunk as you want, you can do whatever you want, it's just when it's time for a photo, I need you in it with me. You're going to be the guy whose head is closest to mine. If there's a couple of super hot playmates and they want to get a picture with the Ace Man, it's going to be you, me, with our cheeks pressed together. And I'm not talking ass cheeks, although we'll get into as the beer flows. And then the two playmates on the outside of us. That's what I'm looking for. Maybe I'll even take two guys with a huge head so I can be the pimento loaf in between the two huge Kaiser rolls known as the giant Cabeza Brothers.
Look at the size of that boy's head.
You want to hear my tiny little surprise?
Yes, but I want to tease your tiny little surprise because
that's what every chick does to it.
I think for once, we'll try to get out on time. What I'm going to do is take a break. When we come back, we'll hear Danny's tiny little surprise, and then we'll talk to all the big heads that are on the phone now. Hopefully, we'll get the access, and we'll be able to show you some pictures and figure this out. Talk to the big-headed monsters and Danny's tiny surprise, and we'll be giving away some Playboy tickets next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. On the way this morning, we'll find out what really pissed off Ace this week as we roll out This Week in Rage. Vote now at AdamCarolla.com. We're going to scan Craigslist for some of the crap people are trying to pawn off on you. We'll do a spirited round of Rich Man, Poor Man. Adam's dog Molly will try to pick more winners than Adam can for this Sunday's games. And you get a chance to join us at the Playboy Mansion for Blotto in the Grotto 2, October 25th. 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
It's going to be hard to rant and rave in front of my beautiful dog, Molly, who is so sweet, and she sits at my feet. And when I get going at home and I start yelling at the TV set or at my wife, Molly starts wagging her tail and jumps up and tries to lick me. She senses that I'm angry and wants to make it right. It's like a kid. You know, when a little kid sees his parents arguing and then he's like, I got a magic trick. Please stop arguing. Whenever I get fired up and start yelling at home, poor Molly goes like, She doesn't think I'm yelling at her. She thinks I'm upset and she wants to try to make it better. She doesn't realize nothing can cure daddy. All right, so Molly, no eye contact while I'm going on my rants later. I feel it'll slow me down. Okay, couple things to cover. First off, the Mega Cabeza competition. I need two guys with huge heads. We talked at the end of the show yesterday. There were a couple guys. I mean, everyone sounded great. We had guys who had custom football helmets made because their head was too big, so on and so forth. They submitted pictures. We're working it out where you guys can go to AdamCarolla.com and see the mega-headed pictures. We're going to see them ourselves. That's in the process as we speak. Danny has a small surprise, and then we'll talk to some other guys with huge heads. Yes.
Okay, my perfect surprise is, or my little surprise is this, that I'm actually smart.
Mm-hmm.
part of this is brought to you by The Perfect Push-Up. They sponsored some of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to do push-ups. What can we do at the Playboy Mansion? I said, are you joking? The handles on the Perfect Push-Up, one of the things that makes it great, is it raises your fists about 9 inches off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
The average Playboy bunny is about 9 inches laying on her back, except for maybe her implants.
Mm-hmm.
The contest would be to do push-ups over the calendar girls to see who gives up and just can't do one more and drops on Miss September.
I'm good for half a push-up before I drop onto a playmate.
I've never thought of a contest I wanted to lose so bad in my whole life. But that's a sponsor and a hot chick and at the Playboy Mansion. I thought that worked out well.
Now, you do the push-ups.
We all, whoever wants to do them and whatever, right. Girls will volunteer, and we do them because you won't have to touch them. They raise your arms up. Let's make them smart. And right. We do as many push-ups as we can. Theoretically, it should be that the girl will give you a kiss or something at the end so you have some sort of motivation to try as hard as you can rather than just go one.
Right.
You know, so she can make out with you in the grotto.
This, I am a big fan of motivation.
Yeah.
This does look like a good idea.
Thank you.
And I had an idea. Now, Board Op Bill, I'm going to need you and the perfect push-up to come by this weekend, because I'm going to come back ripped. How many push-ups?
Awesome.
Adam did 3,300 push-ups. Where's Adam now? He's still in the prone position.
Dude, I got two fights coming up. I'm training like crazy. I might actually win this one.
We'll go to the phones now and talk to all the guys with the huge heads. Got a head like a beach ball. Got a head like
I'm excited about Cranium Keith on line 7.
Love
He's got
that.
His own nickname already.
Oh, really? Okay, let's talk to Cranium Keith. Cranium?
Hey, how you doing, you guys?
You have a huge head?
I've got a massive melon.
Again, I don't want to be the guy in the picture squashing between the two Playboy bunnies with the huge head. I want two guys with bigger heads next to me looking making mine look petite. It's all relative. So give us some stories about how big your head is.
Well, when I go swimming, I look like a buoy. I could be in the shipping lane.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And let's see. I'm like the fat chick. You know how hot chicks always have a good look, or have a fat chick that tow around?
Mm-hmm.
Look better? I'm your guy. I make you look like Leonardo DiCaprio.
How much do you weigh?
210.
210. How tall are you?
5'10".
All right, that's good. Any celebrities, any big-headed celebrities? I'm looking at Al Gore on CNN right now. There's a guy with a nice big head.
That's an honor.
You're Joey Buttafuoco size head. What size are we talking about?
I'm from Chicago, so I'd have to go with Harry Carey.
Ah, that's good. It's good.
Holy cow.
You know it's good, too, when the guys with the huge heads get the Hobo Kelly Swifty Lazar glasses that are even bigger than their head. It's actually two windshields off Chevy Chevettes that are wrapped in steel.
Nice description.
They're just massive. Like, what's the whole thing? I mean, I guess the idea is to wear some novelty-size glasses to try to shrink your head, but that just makes the whole package look bigger. Hey, Cranium Keith?
Yes.
Could you take a picture and send it to adamcarolla.com?
Sure can.
Good.
Speaking of, are we all wearing costumes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Even you, Adam?
Yeah.
Wow, cool.
Mark?
Yeah, it's Mark.
How big's your head?
Well, one size fits all does not apply to me.
You don't have hats that can fit you?
No, nothing like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't have a forehead. I have a five head.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
A lot of forehead. Are you jowly?
Yeah. No, I'm kind of, I guess you were asking who I look like. Probably Jim Belushi. Probably that kind of head. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's large.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, 6'1", 240. So, yeah.
Okay, again, there's big heads, but sometimes guys have big heads and sort of thin faces. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for double chin.
It runs in the family.
Jowly.
My mom never lets me forget it. Yeah, she had to deliver me, so.
And unfortunately, and I don't want to break this down along racial lines, but I can't accept a huge black man, like a bald-headed security guard-looking black guy, because those guys are just big.
Right.
You know, they have the rolls in the back of the neck. They have almost no neck. Their head's big, but the rest of their body's huge, too. And I don't want people going, hey, who are the two playmates, Carolla and the huge black security guard?
Right.
I want
them
to go, who's the playmates, Carolla and the guy with the massive bucket bean? That's the guy I want.
Samoans accepted?
I don't know.
See,
Samoans are the biggest ass people in the world.
It's a cultural thing, you know? Again, you know who makes a good big head guy?
Who?
Mexicans.
Yeah.
I've worked with some Mexicans that have some massive heads, and it just looks, it you can't take your eyes away from it.
You're saying they wear it well.
Yeah, well, here's what I'm saying, and again, I hope this is taken in the spirit in which it's intended. The black man just looks like a huge bouncer. He's just like a big guy. Just like, hey, that's one of Britney Spears' entourage guys. That's him. So that's no good. Samoan, everyone's big in that culture, so it doesn't again, no good. Asian, you have sort of the sumo wrestler thing. I might make an exception, but there's that. But white or Latino, that's the one. White guy, no excuse. That's just the guy with the huge head next to your head. All right, so who are we talking to? We're talking to Greg?
Yeah, I like the sound of Greg.
Greg, Greg's got a huge head and a flat face.
That's what I like.
Hey, Greg?
Yeah,
it's got to look, look really big on camera.
Yeah, I'm thinking like Rocky in the movie Mask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I was about to say I look like Rocky Dennis.
That
size noggin, and you pretty much can show a movie on my face.
You don't have a congenital deformity or anything. You just have a flat face.
Yeah, you should see my profile. It's pretty horrible.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'1".
How much do you weigh?
I weigh 194.
See, my problem is if you can actually see his profile in one picture... head's not big enough.
Should be a sequence of pictures.
Right. You know how you ever stood on your balcony on vacation or something and had to go click, 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 click.
Right.
And then tape them all together?
Right.
That's what you have to do with your head.
Actually, I block the sun down and the sunrise, believe me.
Hey, Greg, now I'm a little nervous because you're 6'1 and you're 194.
Uh-huh.
So now this could work because you could be one of those guys who's not a fat guy, not even a real big guy, just with a really big noggin.
Yeah.
Is that you?
That's me.
All right, take
a size of a nine.
Take it. Hat nine.
Nine. If it's nine, I have a shaved head, so I don't really wear hats.
Oh no, that's shaved head's good. Yeah, no hats. Good. Yeah.
Do you have a girlfriend or a wife or anything?
Nope. Why? I have a girlfriend.
You have a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't mind you going to the Playboy Mansion?
Yeah, I don't think she would.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
And by the way, so she loses Mr. Potato Head?
you know what I mean? Do you think this is fair? And I actually have to bring a note home from Jack that we are not allowed to bring dates of that. Well, I think, Therese, you're allowed to because he's a guy.
I'm working on it.
But I've been told I cannot bring a date to the Playboy Mansion. That's not what we're about. We're KLSX. We're Free FM. We're the man station. That it would be unacceptable for me to bring
no
a date.
No bringing details.
I said, there's no way Amy's going to believe that for 1 second. You write me a note uninviting her, and I'll give it to her, and she can call you and yell at you, bro.
Right.
But those are the facts. They do not want the last bachelor of this show to show up escorted. I need to be the guy in the grotto being bad. It's
right.
My role. It's my job. I'm ashamed. I'm sorry, but I'm a hard worker.
I agree. One time when I used to work with Dr. Drew, he got busted by his wife for going to the Playboy Mansion and not telling her, but it was only because Politically Incorrect was filming from the Playboy Mansion. We did the Playboy Mansion. We did PI at 7 o'clock in the evening and then went off to go do Loveline, and he had to apologize to his wife, and I picked up the phone and started yelling at that shrew.
I
did, because he wasn't going to the Playboy Mansion.
He was
going to do PI. We showed up at 7 in the evening. We're out of there by 8:15, and we're running to Westwood One to do Loveline. The guy's working his ass off. And I did that thing where I explained to people, the reason he didn't tell you, and listen, all the people that don't get told a lot of stuff, there's a reason. You know why? You're not reasonable. You're a bitchy shrew,
right,
and you spin out over nothing. And what people do is they don't want to deal with you. So when it is nothing, they try to shield themselves from your bitchy ass by not telling you things that don't matter because you'll freak out. You're like that evil stepmom who freaks out all the time. So when the kid knocks over the glass of milk, the kid cleans it up, mops it up, and puts the glass back in the sink. And then later on, when evil, shrewy stepmom is screaming, I saw something. Why didn't there any? This is why. Because you're an effing siren.
Nice.
That's why. And you're not reasonable. And so we must treat you like a child. Because we don't want to tell you the truth, like we don't want to tell children, because we don't want them to cry. And so we say, what happened to Molly with the bad hip? Oh, she's off at the farm. She's in upstate New York chasing butterflies. We didn't tell her. We brought her to Van Nuys to be put in the ground. Why? You're 8. You can't handle it. Well, there's a lot of 8-year-old adults out there. Dr. Drew's wife, one of them, could not say anything to her.
And Gretchen could not get past.
I hope I never turn into that.
The
turn into
Christian thing. Gretchen is playing at the Hard Rock or something like that.
Yeah.
She has for no money. She works day and night in this garage band. They play maybe twice a year, but it's her passion. And they said, hey, why don't you play the Playboy Mansion on the night of the party? That'd be really funny. And she said, I will not step one foot in the house that porn built.
Mm.
She's not kidding.
Porn lied.
By the way, can I say, remember me paralyzed giving my aunt abuse with red tears saying I'm not eating, I'm not drinking, I'm going to start to look really bad? I recovered pretty damn fast. I was shocked. I thought I was just going to be paralyzed with I've lost the love of my life forever. They're imminently replaceable, those one-in-a-lifetime things.
I agree.
There's about 20 of them.
I mean, hear that, sweetie? I mean...
You're very resilient.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't know I was. I really thought... I mean, I'm resilient from broken bones. I've got all that... I beep through the airport because all the steel in my body. I'm going to go fight this guy on the 25th who I think Robert wants to kick my ass for some reason. I'm resilient from that. I didn't think I would survive the broken-hearted Gretchen. It was like... 3 weeks later, I was going, well, you're really cute and nice to me, and she was really cute and mean to me. It was a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
No. Well, not bad for you. You have a good job. You make good income. You have a good life. You're going to the Playboy Mansion. It's when,
right.
It's when you have a crappy job or getting dumpsters.
Hey, Adam's on the phone.
Hey, Greg?
Yeah.
Also, Greg's a good name. Greg's a good fathead name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Greg, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was the one yesterday? Ernie?
Ernie.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Just Greg. It's real simple, straight to the point. Flat face, big head.
All right, I like that, Greg. Jason and Bean, which I hope's a nickname because he has a huge bean. He's nicknamed Lampshade.
Well, that's fun.
Talk to this. As a Jew, you appreciate that.
I do.
Hey, Bean?
Yes.
Why are you nicknamed Lampshade?
Hey, why? Well, because my forehead is twice as big as my head.
That's good. And is your head big overall?
So it casts a shadow.
No, you won't find a hat that fits me. There's really? No possible way.
How tall are you, Bean?
I'm 6 foot.
And how much you weigh?
Around 300 pounds.
Oh, 300. That's good.
I'm a big guy.
And what's your nationality?
Italian.
Okay.
All right.
Here's the thing I do worry about.
Standing next to a big guinea, you and me.
It's good, but here's the problem. There's a sort of diminishing returns thing, which is, oh, sure, you get fat and your head gets big, but when people look at the picture, I don't want them going, who's the fat guy next to Adam, Danny, and the Playmates?
I want them
going, who's the guy with the huge melon? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in a way, a 195-pound guy with a 300-pound man's head on them is better than a 400-pound guy with a 400-pound head on him. Can you dig it?
Oh, yeah. I know what you want exactly.
Right.
Because I want the same exact thing with height. I don't need a big fat guy who is of my weight because
right.
then you notice he's fat. I don't want you to notice he's fat.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to notice there's three grown men of approximately the same size.
We are going to find a short guy for you, yeah. Danny.
Well, I've been wearing my smallest heels lately, and how big would you say those are?
3 3/8, 3 1/2.
Okay, then I have at least 4 1/2 at home.
We are.
I could be almost 5'9", bitch.
We are going to find a short guy for Danny and T.
This is going to hurt, isn't it? Please. This is going to hurt. Hold on, I'm bracing myself emotionally right now.
I want you to know.
Small boobs, big nose, what?
Wow.
Well, then what we need you for? Wow, did you just run into that one on purpose?
I want you to know, T, you'd left for TMZ yesterday, and I said, well, as long as we're getting a guy with a big head to stand next to me, we should get a short guy for Danny, and then everyone in the room simultaneously said, we should get someone with a big nose for Teresa, and I said, I don't get it. Why the big nose? And
everyone
just laughed, and then we never really got to the bottom of it. Wow.
No, it's because the way you said it, you don't get it. See, we all get it.
Mm.
No, because it's that big. We all get it. You haven't had it yet.
Ernie's got a huge cabeza. I'm looking at some of the pictures they sent. I think you can go to AdamCarolla.com.
Look at the size of that.
At least we're working on it. Kelly's got a beard, and he's wearing a popcorn bucket on his head. That doesn't score any points. Mm. Someone sent a picture of Leno.
Bad idea.
Listen, here's a picture of Baldwin. No. Here's a picture of Greg. I think it's a different Greg. I'm not sure if it's the Greg we're just talking to. That seemed too fast. Well, it looks pretty flat, and he has a pretty big head, but so far, Ernie takes the big cabeza cake.
That's a huge noggin.
I'm looking at Kevin as well that has a pretty good-sized bean.
You mean Cranium Kevin?
I'm not
that
sure
if
it's the same one or not. Yeah, that's Cranium Keith. All right, so all you, Mike, Matt, Chris, Greg, Ross, Mark... go to AdamCarolla.com, put your big puss in there, and we'll separate you and do a little vote.
Isn't that a different contest?
We need to take ourselves a break. T.
Yep.
The news, baby girl.
I know you've been wondering why Salt and Peppa broke up.
Yeah.
They told it exclusively to Tyra.
Oh, that's great.
She's a very painful partridge.
I always have some partridge in pain. I have a couple of cool clips I got from CNN this morning to play that I think will spark a little debate as well. We'll do the news next.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Every now and again, we like to break down the game film of PBS's Huell Hauser. But sometimes there's just not enough time for all the clips. So here's another one of Huell's Jewels.
So how does the carpooling work?
We meet in the morning at a place, and one of us leaves our car and the other one drives in the rest of the way.
And what kind of incentive does UCLA give you to do this?
A blue parking permit where you can park anywhere on campus.
Wow.
Thanks, Huell. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, football fans, this weekend, this Sunday, Raiders taking on the Chargers. Actually, Chargers, big win last week. Raiders looking pretty good. This is shaping up to be a pretty good game. A couple of weeks ago, it didn't seem like it would be a pretty good game. Now, a lot at stake. I think maybe even first place. We're going to be at Camacho's in the City of Industry. I do believe it's where it is. Yes, 605 and the 60 freeway will be there. When I say we, I mean everyone in this studio.
Damn right.
Also, Frosty, Heine, and Frank are going to be there. I'm sure loaded. I'm just doing the booze math with those, with the triplets. They get drunk when they're doing their show. I could only imagine what they're like on a Sunday watching football.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
If somebody could do me a small, I think, legal favor, although if I say it on there, I may wreck it. If somebody could bring a video camera and prove my point, you will see at this event, the more beer that goes around, 20 large men jump on me. It happens everywhere I go.
Give
now.
Danny ruining, the monkey hump.
It's ruining my life, man.
Yeah, give Danny the monkey hump, and Lycus will be there, too.
There,
and
see that? If Lycus humps me, I'm dead for 100 different reasons.
Don't expect more than $40 for a Lycus monkey hump.
That's right.
So Lycus will be there. Frosty, Heine, and Frank will be there. We'll be there. Camacho's this Sunday. And most importantly, the Raiders and the Chargers are going to be there. Doors open. Well, at least on TV. Doors open at 10 a.m. T.
Yep.
The news, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Former Vice President Al Gore is having an amazing year, and now, in conjunction with the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, he has won the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize for his work to raise awareness about global warming.
Oh, hold on. Didn't he split it?
Yeah, he and the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
What's up, though? You don't split that.
Sure, like, they split the Peace Prize.
No, but the Academy Award, how satisfying would that be? Like, Robert De Niro, and Jack Nicholas, whatever the golfer is. Yeah, they both win. You know what I mean? Or the Super Bowl. Hey, the Patriots and the Rams win this year.
You should think he should have gotten it solo.
Or not.
Or
it's not satisfying to split it. That's what I'm saying.
That's why I don't care for organized sports, usually.
It's like kids boxing.
The boxing ring, UFC, 77 hostile territory. Two men are going to enter a ring. One man's going to be flat on his friggin' back, and one's not. That guy won.
That's right.
You know, that's that. There's no discussion of it. There's no way. Well, if the defense of this team did that, and the offense did this, that's why that team won. And with, like, Chuck Liddell and somebody like that,
right?
If Chuck is standing there, and the other guy's bleeding all over the place, and, you know, they hurt each other less than Red
Street. That's UFC 79 Bad Intentions?
No, this is 77 Hostile Territory.
Oh, okay, sure. You can watch that over at Miller Honda, by the way.
If you do Power Honda in Valencia.
Power, that's right.
In my new S2000.
While doing a perfect push-up.
Right. Damn right.
Right. No, but Danny, you're missing my point, which is in team sports, they still, somebody wins the trophy at the end of the Super Bowl. I don't like the split. That's all I'm saying.
The Nobel Prize caps a series of prestigious awards associated with Gore, including two Oscars this year for his documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, which followed him on a worldwide tour.
He split that Oscar with Meryl Streep this year.
A lot.
He gets the head and bust. He gets the lower half.
He also won an Emmy last month.
They split that with the Dave Duchovny.
He did not win the presidential election.
Who he split with Jimmy, George, yeah. All right.
And a lot of people are speculating that, this Nobel Prize means he's going to run. But he is saying he will not.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple things going on. First off, Bush is so universally hated that everyone seems like a great candidate from the left and from the right, Republican and Democrat this year. And if Hillary Clinton, I mean, stop me if this math is wrong, but people have had an ass full of Republicans, or so it seems. But a lot of George Bush, enough to last us for a while. So I think the Democrats have an advantage coming into this year. Hillary Clinton seems to be the front runner amongst the Democrats, and she doesn't seem that well liked.
No.
So the number one contender, I think, would be a Democrat, and the number one Democrat would be Hillary Clinton, and most folks don't care for her that much.
A source close to Gore is saying that if Hillary Clinton's campaign falters at all, he would take a serious look at entering the race.
Falters means she becomes the front runner and no one really likes her.
She is the front runner and a lot of people think she's unstoppable. But if for any reason her campaign falters, a source, again, not Gore, Gore saying he won't run, but a source is saying he would step in.
Well, if you want to be the president, isn't this the time?
You'd think, especially now with the Peace Prize. And I don't know if you remember this, but recently a group called Draft Gore took out a full-page ad in the New York Times begging him to change his mind.
Also, it's going to be great for him to enter each debate with the Emmy on this side,
the Oscar
on that side, your little mid-opponent, and then wearing a medallion Nobel Peace Prize. Yes, sorry, I couldn't hear you. The sound must have bounced off the wings of the Emmy and the globe of the Oscar, whatever, or the head of the shiny head of the Oscar. Like, I would just bring all that hardware to everything I did. Just set it down to my right, my left. So every shot of me was wearing, I was like a rapper. I was just wearing the Nobel Peace Prize around my neck.
And an Emmy or any other award. Right. I'd still wear my scout badges and they let me be a scout.
I'd be like, I'm going to let Mr. Oscar answer this question.
Or would you like Mrs. Emmy? Who would you like to talk
Mr.
to?
Mr. Oscar will do it and he'd be like, the fence at the border is not going to stop people from coming into the country. These are brothers to the south. Yes, could you wrap it up, Oscar? I'll go for president. Thank you. I've never been prouder to be owned by one man. Thank you.
You know, he won. Well, he shares a prize of $1.5 million.
Mm.
Nobel comes with a lot of money, and he's donating it, of course, to the Alliance for Climate Protection.
Mm-hmm. All right.
A group that works to reduce global warming.
Well, nice. Man with a big head.
Now, salt and pepper. On to important news.
Yeah, what's going on with them?
You know them. You know their music. Push it.
Real good, yeah.
Push it real good. They both went on Tyra. They discussed why they broke up and how they broke up. Both Peppa and Salt are pretty major blowhards. And Tyra had some difficulty getting a word in.
Sure.
Now
the
here,
perfect storm.
Yes, it was. It was
super trifecta of blowhards.
It was a holy trinity of blowhards. Sandra Peppa Denton says Salt and Peppa basically broke up with one phone call from Cheryl Salt James back in 2001.
I get this phone call from Salt, and then I'm like, hey, girl, what's going on? What's up? And she just right out just said, you know what, Pep? I don't want to be joint at your hips anymore. I'm out the group. I'm gone. I don't want to do this anymore.
Oh, my
and
gosh. What did that feel like?
I was shocked because she sounds serious.
Yeah.
And from that day, she was serious. And I was devastated.
I can imagine.
There were gigs, there were things that would come up, and then I would go, I'll do it. And they go, no, we'd rather have both of you. Sorry, Pep.
They sound like graduates of that Learn Tech high school that got shot up.
Success Tech?
Yeah, 1,000. Yeah. I was wondering what happened to Salt and Pepper.
Well, here's what Salt has to say. Let's hear Salt's
side. Salt and Pepper were on at the same time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I have apologized, and I'll apologize again and again and again for the way that I did it, yeah. But I was so overwhelmed. I was not even able to articulate what I was going through. I just
and I know
needed
you were going
to
through,
get out.
You were going through an eating disorder as well.
I had been, that was my dark secret that she didn't know. I had been bulimic for years. I had serious self-esteem issues. I had body image issues. I had so many things that I needed to get over that I couldn't get over on the road, in a group, in the studio.
Kind of nice to hear a sister who has bulimia.
Yeah, you almost
you don't hear about it. It's like a white guy getting sickle cell. You just don't hear about it that much.
Not
I
as
like
much
it.
Pressure to stay thin.
You yeah. know, 50 years ago, I don't think we would have had would have accepted that in this country.
Donald nice. Trump.
And think
yeah.
how much harder it would have been for Rosa Parks to get out of that chair.
If she,
you know, if she
was had, bulimic?
Yeah, well, if she failed to be. Really. Mm. She's just a huge woman of color. She said, I can't get out of this chair. It's too small. We would not have the civil rights that we have today.
I agree.
Donald Trump has a new book. I'm just confused.
Yes.
Donald Trump
it's
has a new book.
Horrible name for a book.
That's the subtitle. Mm. The real title is Wealth Building 101.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just confused. By mm-hmm. Donald Trump. And recently, Rosie O'Donnell has been in the media a lot talking about her new book, Celebrity Detox. But here's the thing.
Mm.
Does Donald Trump think that his book, Wealth Building 101, is any better than O'Donnell's book?
Well, he's so magnanimous. I can't even if he thinks that, I don't imagine he'd ever voice it.
The book is a piece of garbage. No, I won't read it, but there's nothing to learn. She batted her hands with a baseball bat. I don't think too many people want to learn about that. My book comes out in 2 weeks, and I guarantee it's going to sell many, many more copies than her book.
Sure. You wouldn't want to hear about someone hitting their own hands with a baseball bat. You'd want to hear about how a guy's dad left him a bunch of money.
Right.
Is that a good way to build wealth?
Yeah.
Is it too late for me?
Crawl up Mrs. Trump Trump's vagina. There you go. That's how it works.
Here's a story about a dentist in Woodland, California.
That Rosie is not terrific. She has no class. She's classless. She's not classy like Kapanka. Who I is from the former German Republic of Klastanistan. That's right. I said, tear down this classy wall. These classless people did it. She's from the former Soviet Republic of Super Classyburg.
I like Klastanistan.
Klastanistan. not from where Rosie's from. Big fat bottle of queso ball of cheeseburg. Big fat no class. She's not terrific. Tell
she's
you that.
Not.
She's definitely not terrific. She's a classless, unterrific, fat, unterrific, fat, unterrific.
Would you
fat
say
person.
She's a winner?
She's
life?
A loser. She's a degenerate loser, unterrific, fat, lardo, huge headed, melon, lesbian, loser, degenerate with no class.
Big, fat, lesbian, loud, Rosie.
Here's a dentist who is not classy. That's probably how his patients would describe him, at the very least. Here's a story out of Woodland, which is just west of Sacramento. A month ago, this dentist was arrested for allegedly fondling a female patient's chest. Once that story got out, tons of other women came out to say that this guy, Mark Anderson, had fondled them, too. Overall, 27 of his female patients have gone to the police to complain that they were groped. And yesterday, Anderson had a hearing to see if he could keep his dental license until all the misdemeanor battery and sexual battery charges against him were resolved. He had an argument as to why he should keep his license. He said that occasionally, dental work requires breast groping.
He, of course it does.
Yes, he had an argument. He told the judge that sometimes a dentist needs to, quote, palpate the pectoral muscles in cases of TMJ. You guys know what TMJ is?
Sure. That's where I keep reading about myself.
Yeah, that's where you work.
it's jaw-related, and it's treated by dentists.
Mm-hmm.
Temporomandibular. Anyway,
right.
Sore jaw.
Right.
So, more well-known treatments for TMJ are things like diet changes, working on your posture, hot or cold packs, doing yoga. More severe cases are sometimes treated by surgery or anti-inflammatory drugs.
My dentist said to reach around and free up that jaw.
Pectoral massages are not listed as one of the treatments on the Mayo Clinic's website.
But listen, cut these guys a break. You know what I mean?
You got a passed out chick. If you have a passed out friend, what do you do?
you duct tape him to the chair
and draw a penis on his face.
This chick's
lucky.
Yeah, I mean, I went to a dentist and got oral surgery. I woke up with a big old Sharpie penis on my face.
I went to a dentist. I woke up. I just got oral.
That's right.
She went to this guy, 28-year-old woman. She went to him for TMJ. You know, she had one of those.
I heard that sucking thing going on. You know that.
Yeah.
And then I looked to my right. I realized it's not on.
Oh no.
That's the dentist.
She.
I was alarmed. I finished and then I reported him immediately.
She needed a mouthpiece to keep her teeth from grinding at night.
Let's be honest. If you had one of those sucker things anywhere near your bedroom.
Oh, no.
How long before you did that? Let's see what happens if. You know what I mean? That's all. That's how it would start. It would start with a couple of Miller chills and then, been staring at that thing for a long time. And it'd do that same thing where you turn it on, you put your finger on the end first. And then what would it feel like if? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
All right. So, look, these guys have miserable jobs, right?
Let me just finish this story quickly.
I wanted to get into that for a second.
Sorry.
She was sitting in the chair. She went to the dentist to get a mouthpiece.
So she was asking for it.
She was asking for it. She said that the dentist went behind her, massaged her jaw, neck, and then upper chest. Then he asked her, did you get a breast augmentation?
Mm-hmm.
She was shocked, and she answered yes. He then reached into her shirt, felt her breast, and said they did a good job.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the other defense of this guy. I'll give the first in a minute. When you start massaging a woman, the only reason you give a massage is to grab boobie.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah,
yes.
So it starts off with the neck. It starts off with the jaw, or the head, or whatever.
Right.
And if you don't stop us, then we'll slide down. And if you don't stop us, then we'll slide down. So he just started massaging her jaw. She didn't protest. And next thing you know, he's grabbing some boobie. It's just like high school. And as far as the guys grabbing a little boobie, these guys have miserable lives. Think about what they do for a living. You know when you get too close to someone's mouth and it gets weird? You know they're the people that don't understand the personal sort of 28-inch buffer zone and they talk to you and they get too close? Or when they're eating and talking, you see stuff jumping out of their mouth. Or, of course, the bad breath or whatever. I mean, if you think about it, the mouth is one of the weirdest places on the body to get too close to. We all focus on the ass, but let's focus on the mouth for a second. When someone gets up in your face, it's always weird. These guys spend their lives in other people's mouths, and not good mouths either. There's a problem. That's why they're there.
Yeah.
Rotting mouths.
Let them grab a little boobie every once in a while to take the edge off. So
27 women.
Small. Hey, that's not 30.
That's true.
Small price to pay for what they do for society.
I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Well, speaking of CNN, oh, man, it's a little morbid. Maybe too early to play, but I was watching CNN early this morning, and remember that gut bomb woman?
Yeah, she was at the airport.
Yeah, she went nuts at the airport, and then they restrained her, and then she died somehow trying to get out of her restraints and choking herself and whatever. At Phoenix Airport, happened a couple of weeks ago. It's a crazy story, and we're going to hear more about it because there'll be lawsuits and all that stuff. They now have the recording of the husband. And the husband is calling up, and he's talking to the sheriff or the dispatcher or the whoever's at the airport. And he's saying, you have my wife in custody. Oh, good. But be careful because she's despondent and she's suicidal. Now, the guy who's talking to her knows she's already dead. And I don't blame that guy one second. But imagine, T., you're talking to me like I'm alive or like your husband's alive. Let's say Batman's in custody. I'm staring at Batman's limp corpse to my right, and you're going, yeah, good, be careful. You got to treat him with kid gloves. And I'm like, okay. So this is the horrible, gut-wrenching conversation I was watching this morning. It has the setup as well. But keep in mind, the person that the despondent husband is talking about is already deceased. Here we go.
What you're about to hear is the desperate voice of Noah Gottbaum frantically trying to get in touch with police to tell them his wife was emotionally disturbed and needed to be treated with kid gloves. What he didn't know at the time, as you mentioned just a moment ago, was that his beloved wife, Carol, had already died, shackled and alone in a holding cell. In fact, by the time her husband was calling, she had already been dead an hour.
They're waiting for her down in Cottonwood at, okay, at the rehab center down there.
Okay.
She is suicidal. Obviously, she is. She has been. She is alcohol abusive.
Uh-huh.
But she is also in deep depression, and the police have to understand that they're not dealing with someone who's been just drinking out of flight and
right,
acting rowdy. That's not what's going on here.
Okay. Yeah, I think somebody talked to the other dispatcher on that earlier, and we passed along that information.
Well, but again, I have not heard anything back.
Yeah, I don't know. And yeah, unfortunately,
it concerns me, Mike, that they have not called me, that they're just dealing with her, that she is all alone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because she should not be.
Yeah. By the way, I'll tell you how I'm constructed mentally. I feel worse for the guy.
Then had to take the call.
Then the guy who lost his crazy wife.
Wasn't she on the way to alcohol rehab?
Yes, she was on the way to alcohol rehab.
Everybody's on the way to alcohol.
The family is suing and all that kind of stuff because she was despondent. She was suicidal. Well, look, perhaps you send somebody with her then if your wife is despondent and suicidal,
right,
and taken to drink.
I watch that show Intervention, and they always have somebody accompany the person to the rehab facility.
Yeah, you need to walk them to the rehab facility. Why? So they don't have a couple pops in the Phoenix airport, freak out, get wrestled to the ground, and then choke themselves out, chained to a bench.
They could also have withdrawals or DTs.
Yeah, so obviously there are things. Again, it's one of those things where you keep pointing at the authorities, but the authorities, all they know is they have a crazy woman running around the airport who they need to tackle and get out of the airport, and the folks defending the family always do that thing where it's like, if someone had just talked to her, if someone... Yeah, just talk to a raving lunatic who can't be controlled. Obviously, they said, ma'am, calm down, and she threw a kick at them, and then they tackled her to the ground. I don't know that part where you're rewriting history or you're going to build a time machine. How is it that you're supposed to talk to someone that's in some fugue state and completely out of control? Either way, I don't really blame the airport authority. Here's the thing. Let me explain how society works. We don't have enough time to tailor make everything for everyone in society. Unfortunately, we have cops. We have airport security. And when people freak out at the airport, we have one mode. Take them down, remove them, and subdue them. We don't know if they're terrorists. We don't know if they're insane. We don't know if they're going through alcohol withdrawal. We don't know any of these things. And the problem is we don't have enough time and money to do it. We just need cops. And when you freak out, we take you out of where you are. We try not to shoot you. Maybe you get a little shot of pepper spray. And then we try to chain you to something until we figure it out. We don't have a response team that can be trained for every scenario. We do that all the time, where it's like, the cop should have known. The guy should have known. There's too many variables. There's too many things that can go on. There are too many types of crazy, and there are too many types of potential danger for everyone to know everything. All we know is we'll chain you to something, we'll make some phone calls, and we'll see if we can figure this out. I feel bad for the family, obviously, but I don't think there needs to be a lawsuit every time something horrible happens. Either way, the poor guy knew the woman was dead and was talking to the husband. And just a little tip. That's how you know you're being lied to when people do that. Uh-huh. All righty then. Okay. So, because whatever they're talking about isn't going to happen. Like where they
right.
go like, I'm going to need someone to call me back and I'm going to need someone to look after her and I need you to make sure that she's not, uh-huh, got you then.
Yeah, you know when I do that, you ever order something online and they give you the confirmation number? I never in my life have written it down once, but they go, we're going to give you the confirmation number. Do you have a pen?
Yeah, I got one. That's right. I overcompensate. I have 9 pens, one in each nostril, one each ear, one up my arse.
Yeah, can you repeat that?
And then it's funny when you don't want to hear it so much, you jump into it. Like, confirmation number, that's Z as in zebra, 0. Yeah, I got it. They're 9 digits. Rightio. I got it. I got a pretty good feel for what it is. R914. Yeah. I get the gist. I see we're going here. No, I got it. I do that with people's phone numbers. All right, so call me back. Okay. I got you.
It's 647.
Gotcha.
No, but it's 7 digits.
All right. And you got a number, you got a little web thing there.
Yeah, it's going. T. Strasser.
Righty.
Sassy.
All right, then. You'll be hearing from me.
No, but it's at
AOL. Right. Gotcha. No. I got you. I'll find you. I know how to get you. I know that guy. Yeah, so whenever you hear that, assume whoever you're talking about is dead.
I felt so terrible for the husband because he was really trying to make his point. He knows his wife. He knows she's probably acting crazy.
Right, and the guy's talking to him on the phone is getting $9.55 an hour, and the guy who was supposed to take over his shift is 25 minutes late. He was supposed to be on his way home now, except for he's got to handle the gut wrench call. Horrible, but such is life. All right, moving on to happier topics.
Enough of this morning zoo crap, Adam.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, then.
4-9 a school fire coming up.
Who the F sells this S?
My favorite.
Favorite new game. We look up on Craigslist. We have someone who's selling a bacon tray, brand new, $5. We have someone who's selling a sexy Urban Legends t-shirt, rare. Rare in that nobody wants it, or rare that they didn't make very many of them. For $8, he's selling a t-shirt. Aren't t-shirts officially free now?
Yeah.
Pretty much. If you go to a store of any kind.
I don't feel like there's anywhere I go where someone doesn't hand me a t-shirt with their company name on it. When I leave the parking lot, the parking guy goes, here's a t-shirt with a picture of the parking lot on it.
Death Dog has his own logo now.
Remember that Oktoberfest, buddy?
Yep, there it is. That's the t-shirt Danny's got.
All the logo right off the bat. I got one on.
And this is radio.
Wizard.
That's why you say see this.
The last item is a Wizard Fantasy gift bag. Nothing in it, just the bag itself. $1. This is someone who's selling something for $1. Oh, man, wait a minute. Big-headed Ernie is back on the phone as well. Yeah, punch him up.
Huh?
Oh, Ernie?
Yo.
Yo, did you send us your picture?
You know what? I've sent it twice, and you guys are having some trouble getting it up.
No, we're having trouble getting it up, but I've seen the picture.
Yeah.
I've been building this body my whole life for this.
You have a massive head.
I have a massive head. You see, the magazine don't even cover my head.
No, you'd need a fold-out in order to get your entire head in there. All right, Ernie, you're in.
Yes, thank you.
Wow.
Now, listen. Ernie,
I talked before. Adam, you're the man. Danny, you're still a pimp. T, a big man want to do you still.
Hey, Ernie, but let me explain. With these tickets comes responsibility.
I will do whatever I got to do.
I don't need your fat head in the grotto offending the women. You're going to need to stay close for when we take pictures, all right?
That's my job.
That's Danny's job, all right?
I will be like bodyguard. I will be right at your side at all times. You will look small the whole time you're there.
Right. And I want you to get sloppy drunk and see if you can sweat profusely about the head as well.
That's no problem.
Done and done. I figured that was a layup for you, Ernie.
I've just got one physical question for you.
Yes.
I can do this all by myself. I don't need anybody else to do it. I just need you as your professional trainer. I let myself go a little bit. You know, I keep myself real taut. Do I have enough time to get back to shredded by the grotto? I mean,
I'd
full-blown shredded if I put 2 hours a day.
It's the 25th.
You got yourself a couple of weeks, or almost a couple of weeks. All you got to do is a couple of cycles, right, of the clear.
Yeah.
And don't eat for the next 2 weeks.
Do you want me to bring you the clear? It's nothing. I got prescription clear.
Yeah.
It's nothing. You want me to bring it to you?
Yeah. Take it.
I mean, you have to do it for 3 months minimum, and then they usually compliment you on your skin, hair, and fingernails.
I'd like that.
We need to take ourselves a break.
You want some test, bro.
The F sells this S next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Can't get enough of Adam, Danny, and Teresa? Well, you're in luck. Here's Bald Brian's bonus B-sides on the Adam Carolla Show.
I love nuts. I just love them.
Hey, put down the fork, you fat pig.
Don't you know who I am?
I spent all my money on drugs.
File that under who cares for now.
I'm effed in the head.
I try too hard sometimes, you know. We, you know, try and fit in, try and be funny, and then I get caught up and start talking too much. What a prick.
I've got 4 T-cells left.
By the way, I have herpes.
Mom, Dad, I'm a prostitute. That's the good news.
My mom... Bald Brian's B-Sides, everybody. Fast becoming a favorite here at the Adam Carolla Show. All right. Have you ever been looking through the Penny Saver or Craigslist or something and seen like a avocado pit for sale for 70 cents or tennis ball that the dog got tired of for 35 cents? And you think to yourself, who the F sells this ass? And then I realize... my family,
yep,
if they knew how to work a computer, would be on Craigslist with this stuff. Well, we decided to make it into a segment, and it's called...
Let's find out who the f*** sells this sh-.
Now, we're going to talk to some people, but some of the people we're not going to talk to, you should get a heads up on. We have seats for a van, 1990 Aerostar, must sell, $5.
Freak out!
Must sell.
Yeah. And by the way, this is the kind of van seat that comes out of the van, so probably sat on some guy's porch while he did his old lady on it and chewed tobacco for 15 years, and now it's all yours for $5. Subway restaurant coupons. Buy one, get one free. No drink purchase. $8. Huh. So you can buy Subway. Look, T...
yeah.
I don't know much about dating because it's been a while, but I imagine when you pull out the Subway coupon book on the first date, panties moist.
Oh, yeah.
But when you mention that you bought the coupon book on Craigslist, it's a torrent of sexuality that goes on in the underpants, yes?
Forget the surf and turf.
That's right.
The Subway with coupon?
Extra Dijonnaise, my dear. ice cube tray, $5. You get 8 of them for $5. The plastic ice cube tray, yes.
Too rich for my blood.
Freezer burn, everybody. Is there anyone who goes to IKEA, sees the ice cube tray for 69 cents and goes, I'm going to hold off. I'd rather have an exchange with a stranger over this.
Right.
Go to his house.
Yeah, where are you at? I'm out in Redlands. Fantastic. I'm over in Northridge. It's only 2.5-hour drive.
4 hours, $40 worth of gas to save 12 cents.
Yeah. I'll be driving my Aerostar with no seats in it out there. Should we meet at a park at night so you can stab me, or should I just come to your mom's apartment? And by the way, just the smell is worth it alone. Like, you guys know what I'm talking about? That walk into the guy's apartment smell?
Yes.
We all know that. See, when you live in a house, people really don't know what you smell like. But when you live in an apartment, for some reason they do. And it's this weird thing where it's the threshold that gets you. When you're standing outside, you're just breathing fresh air. And then when you step in... if you've been in the apartment for a few minutes, it just becomes your environment. You don't notice it anymore. Right. It's the transition. As your foot crosses the threshold, as the guy who's selling you the ice cube trays opens the apartment door, as you see the burnt orange carpeting or that weird green shag from the 70s, as that first step enters, a million things go through your mind. You get the cat, the cigar, the pot, the non-showering, the dishes in the sink.
Dead hookers.
It's like, boom, it all hits you. It's just like a rush, like sensory overload. And then 5 minutes later, you're just sitting on the guy's sofa eating Bugles, and you don't think about it again. But for that step, just the step where you have to enter the environment and really take the guy's essence in, it's not worth the exchange.
You know, scents are so important. How many people here have some smell that will make you instantly think of something specific? Your mom, your dad?
Cut grass
right
in the summer makes me think of 1,000 football practices.
How many people have ever gotten in trouble for smelling different when they got home from when they left?
Yes.
Me too. Yesterday I was at a meeting, and I set my crash helmet down on a vent, and the guy, he's a big executive, he goes, I don't know why this is, but in about a half hour, that vent is going to blow this smell that smells like fried chicken. And I said, I swear to God, I'm going to go home and my girlfriend's going to say, so who do you date now that wears Ode to Fried Chicken? It's like any smell can get you in trouble.
Yes.
It can give you a fond memory or it can get you buried.
But you put the crash helmet down on the vent.
Well, it was a whole ledge event.
But where the chicken? Where's the chicken?
For some, he doesn't know. It's a brand new office.
It just smells like fried chicken.
TLC, that channel, they just moved. So he said, I don't know why, but that vent will start blowing smell that smells like fried chicken. And I said, you know what? It could be whatever cool perfume is out right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, was this a silver-haired gentleman wearing a white suit with a thin bow tie, like a Western bow tie?
Believe it or not, he was dressed like an executive and talked like a guy.
No, wasn't the colonel.
he just wanted to go out and get some and get in a fight.
here are some other things you can find on Craigslist. Latina adult movies. Just for you. I like when they add a little commentary, a little custom commentary. Yeah. I like the other, and this one ends with just for you, must go. Here's the thing about must go. We'll decide.
Right.
I know it's important to you to sell. It's important for everyone to do everything.
Yeah, must sell.
Latina porn. Brand new Hanukkah menorah, $4. You guys insert your own joke there.
It writes itself.
New adult DVDs, $3.
That's not bad.
Put this one aside.
But new and adult don't necessarily scream new and filthy.
This is my favorite of all time. And just imagine this cat's apartment and the smell that comes out of it. Wanted, meat scraps, trim, and other discards. Cleaning your freezer?
I love animals.
Read this. Hello there. I'm posting this ad because I make my own dog food. All right. You getting the apartment smell
yet?
Yeah. Freezer burned or slightly ripe meat may not be good for humans, but it's just fine for dogs.
Is that true?
I would never want to get to the point in my life where I have to examine that.
Chocolate is bad for dogs. Why wouldn't gamey meat be bad for dogs?
No idea. Feet and organs, especially liver and stomach, from beef, poultry and pork, goat, lamb, pigeon and cat. No, I just added that one. Feet and liver and stomach make great food for pups as well. That's right. $1. He'll buy your cow scraps.
Ah.
See, I think it's code for I'll buy your liver. Now, I'm in big trouble, and I need your liver, and I'll buy it.
Now, again.
This is the lotion in the basket.
Who's scarier? The guy who puts the ad out for the pieces parts or Farmer John from Motel Hell? Or is it the guy who comes with a sack full of horse hooves and goes, hey, I think we can talk?
They're both scary, but all the people we've talked to so far that are selling their S are men. We have a woman.
Ah, Lisa.
Right on.
On line 7. Lisa?
Yes?
You are the proud owner of a bacon tray?
Yeah.
Definitely not a Jew.
Is that still for sale?
No, someone bought it already.
For how much?
$5.
Uh-huh. I thought maybe my mom went over there and bought it and then realized, oh no, she would have talked you down. She wouldn't pay retail for the bacon tray. She would offer you $3.50. So
by
for
the
somebody
way, he said talk to you down.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
I heard it.
You thought you heard it, but you didn't hear it.
I appreciate it.
Hey Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
So how did the exchange go with the person that wanted the bacon tray for $5? And what does the bacon tray look like?
Well, it was like one of those roasting type of pans. And it was brand new, still in the box, and she wanted it.
It was a microwave?
No.
It says microwave bacon tray right on your Craigslist thing.
Might want to know what you're selling.
No, microwave baking tray? Uh-uh.
Microwave bacon tray cooks up to 14 slices.
Nope, that wasn't mine.
Well, there's no way there'd be another human being dumb enough to sell
a bacon tray for
$5.
Lisa, how did you acquire said bacon tray yourself?
I don't remember. It was just in my cabinet. Who knows? You know, you get things and you don't use them.
All right. So anyway, you sold the bacon tray, which I'm sure you could get at IKEA or Target. See, here's the problem with all this stuff. There are places like IKEA and Target where you can buy 6 glass tumblers for 99 cents now.
And decent tumblers.
Everything officially is cheap and it's brand new.
Do you know what we call my house, the big $5 million house that I'm losing? We call the interior this, wow, it's beautiful. How'd you decorate it? You say, IKEA Gothic.
Yeah.
Because every third thing in it is real. The other two things are from IKEA. because I don't have the quality of friends that would ever be able to tell.
Seriously, there's nothing you can't get for almost free now at one of these places. But anyway, the person bought your bacon tray, Lisa, right?
Yeah.
How did that work? How did the exchange work?
Well, she came over to buy another item.
What was that?
I was selling a washer and dryer.
Well, that's really
How much did that go for?
You got range.
That went for $450.
Wow. And do you know how that got in your house, or is that just there?
I bought it.
You bought it. And why are you cleaning up? Do you have brain cancer? What's going on?
I was moving.
Oh, you're moving?
Yeah. I didn't take it with
to the next
me.
Let me explain
world.
Why. Let me explain why they call it moving. You move the things that you currently have to your new place. Otherwise, it's called leaving. What you did is called leaving.
I didn't want all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to, you know.
She rented a U-Haul shopping cart. That's all she has, her pillow and a comforter.
Now, Lisa sounds surprisingly sane. What do you do for work, Lisa?
I'm a human resources manager.
HR. Right. Mm-hmm. So she fires people.
Puppet stuff.
Now, are you getting paid enough?
Yeah.
All right, so somebody bought the bacon tray, but they came over to buy a durable good, and you just tacked this one on.
Yeah, well, I had like, a lot of items sitting on my dining room table.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, take a look at this stuff, too. See mm-hmm. if there's something else you want. And she said, yeah, she wanted the baking tray.
Mm-hmm. And are you a single woman, Lisa?
No, I'm married.
Mm-hmm. How's the husband going? Did you point at him and say, can you take him cheap?
He's not really, you know, dealing with it. I'm just...
Mm-hmm. And what is he? Some sort of international... financer or something? What's he do? He's in the diamond trade. He travels via private jet so much there's no time to talk about selling bacon trays. No.
Man of mystery.
What's he do?
He's in sales.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't attempt to hit you with a snow shovel when you explain you're going to sell the bacon tray for
$5? No, he doesn't care.
Okay.
Well, Lisa, of all the items that you have for sale, which is the cheapest?
I sold something for $2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember what it was.
Oh, that was the that was the used waxed floss.
No, it was let me think. I sold
spatula.
I had some Cal King like a sheet set. I mm-hmm. sold that.
Cal King.
California King.
Barely used Q-tip.
Well, no, it was
lightly used.
Lightly used.
$2 OBO.
It was still in the package. It was brand new.
Tampon dispenser. Only used once.
Yeah. No, not that dispenser. That dispenser.
You know how some people roll their own cigarettes?
Yeah. I know where you're going.
Does anyone pack their own tampons? You know what I mean? Like, how cheap would you have to be?
Okay, so
I buy the dispensers over here, and then I go across town. I buy the wadding, and I put them together.
Right. All right, now... How many people here have, at some point during their lives, probably their youth, saw the commercial where they put the little cork thing in a glass of water and the little cork thing the size of a small, like an M80, is mm-hmm. about the size of a tampon,
mm-hmm.
blows up to the size of a Nerf football and sucks up every drop of water in that glass?
Yes.
Because you saw it on the commercial? Did you do that?
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, you make fun of it, but what a brilliant invention.
I did two things. Well, first, when I saw the commercial, I was like, huh, I guess when it's that time of the month, blue high C comes out of the ladies.
That's true.
And that weird.
Number one. And number two, I do remember as a young lad finding the cardboard applicator in a trash can and looking through it like a periscope because it slides nicely. Yes, we didn't have video games back then, kiddies. We had to make our own fun.
But that's weird, though, isn't it? A girl will hide everything personal about her. Amy, we've been living together now for several months, I guess. It still locks the door if she's in there for any reason at all. And to me, it's, I'm going. I'm sitting. Could you hand me the phone?
Right.
I'm that guy, right? But she absolutely hides everything. But not an applicator or a wrapper that just sits on top of the thing. You'd think that's one of the things, you know, that's real personal.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those guys. If somebody said to me, I need a box of extra thick, whammy, string-sized tampons, I just go to the store and get them. I don't care.
Whammy size is always sold out.
Dude, you're one of the chicks I know.
Lisa?
Yeah.
All right.
Don't you laugh at my whammy-sized chicks.
Bacon tray's about as low as you go, right?
No, that was really nice. It was really nice. It was brand new.
Sure.
It was the good kind.
Okay.
As opposed to the bad joint.
All right. I dig it. I can dig it.
You guys are so funny.
All right, baby.
I love Lisa. Can she come to the Playboy Mansion?
I like her too.
Yeah.
How old are you, Lisa?
I am 40 years old.
And married.
Mm-hmm. And
she's
married.
Just delightful.
All right. Sorry.
I don't know why. I love her.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too, but
I like
her too. I appreciate
that
she's trying to get rid of stuff before she moves, make a few extra dollars for the family.
We, now there's Ed who's selling the fantasy gift bags with the unicorns on them for $1. Uh-oh. And again, I know, look, I don't want to sound like out of touch rich guy Corolla, but
he's gay.
Here's the thing, everybody.
Then don't speak.
I'm going to say something. You get paid a certain amount per hour. That's how much you're worth. If you get paid $100 an hour or $10 an hour, that's what you're worth on a Sunday, too. That's the way I look at it. If you're going to save a dollar but waste half a day, then you're getting paid 10 cents an hour.
Right.
That's not
right.
The way you want to go. And I could make an argument for you being worth more on your own time. Because right. That's life, baby. So going across town to buy a bag for a dollar doesn't make sense to me. But to Ed. Yes. Ed?
Yes, good morning.
What do you have for sale?
Well, meth. I have several thousand of those gift bags.
Ah.
Okay.
Oh, so you're going to sell them for a buck.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the ad is kind of dumb, if you ask me.
Wizard Fantasy gift bags, very special offer, $1. So you're not going to make money if a guy says, I just want one gift bag. That's going to take 100 years. But if I called up and said, I need 3.5 wizard bags,
yeah.
Now we're talking, right?
Now we're talking. That's right.
How many of these have you sold?
About 300,000.
What?
Whoa.
Not from Craigslist, though, right?
Of course not. Not from Craigslist.
How many have you sold from Craigslist?
None.
How long's your ad been on there?
Couple days.
I don't understand. There's a lovely picture that looks like a Led Zeppelin cover album, cover art from like 1976. I don't understand why I haven't moved more of these babies.
Yeah, me too. But I think maybe the ad needed to be redone.
You created 6 fantasy images that were made into the highest quality gift bags ever made.
Almost. I think
that's
so.
A bold statement,
that's
sir.
A bold
can you
statement.
Back that up?
If you looked at them and saw them in person, and then you took them to a store and compared them to others, you might say the same thing.
I will accept your challenge.
Okay.
Ooh. I'm going to come to your humble abode. Where are you?
Near Hancock Park.
No, okay. Right up the street.
It's on the way home. I grab one of your wizard bags, and then I go out wizard bag comparison shopping.
You got it.
And a scant 9 hours later, I return to your home and say it's only worth 85 cents. Take it or leave it.
Yeah, and we'll make a dinner bet.
Where are you now?
We're in my house.
I could be back with the gift bag in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Would you like Danny to come to your home?
I got my Harley outside. I'm going to be there and back.
And get a gift bag?
I would like a wizard gift bag.
Wait, I'm not getting them for us as gift. I will if he'll give them.
Sure.
But Adam made this man a challenge. But also, because of the guy I am, and Adam is a fair judge. I've actually bet against Adam and let him be the judge if I was right or wrong.
All right.
Because I trust him. You know, he doesn't need the money. He's a man of integrity.
Well, I don't like to brag, but I am a bit of an expert when it comes to wizard fantasy bags.
You know if it's the best one or not.
Sure. Some of us can really whiz. I'm huge.
In college, I majored in wizard fantasy bags with an emphasis on warlocks and Pegasi. That's what we call more than one Pegasus.
You're a unicorn major.
I was a unicorn and wizard major, and then I transferred.
It wasn't for you.
All
right, so now you have said I'll accept your challenge. To me, that says I'm throwing down the gauntlet. Mm-hmm. What if he's wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Gauntlet gift bag is also popular.
Very nice. I love a good gauntlet. I just
wrong,
toss them down.
The gift bag.
All right, so Ed?
Wait. If he's wrong, we get to keep the gift bags that you have now said suck. Big deal. You have to get down and give me 20 or something like that.
Can I say this, Ed?
I'm sorry?
Hancock Park.
Nice
right
neighborhood.
Street, no
yeah, very nice neighborhood. Bad name for a neighborhood, but a great neighborhood. That costs money to live in Hancock Park. How do you afford that, selling wizard bags one at a time?
Well, it gets difficult.
I see. Times are tough.
Do you rent or own?
Own.
Mm-hmm.
You own a home in Hancock Park?
Yeah.
It's got to be worth over $1 million.
Hancock Park adjacent.
That's where Koreatown is, by the way. It's Hancock Park adjacent.
Yeah,
that's
right. South Central. I knew that was coming. I right. was there.
Ed, what do you think your house is worth?
Well, it's a duplex, so probably over $1 million now.
All right. Be prepared to depreciate. Bonaducci's coming by.
All right.
All right. Hang on. We need to take ourselves a break. We got a guy who's got a marijuana container for sale. It just keeps going.
Oh.
We need to take ourselves a break. We're running super late as per usual. Yeah, Danny, go pick up the wizard bag. I'll tell you what. Ed, hang on. Michael with the marijuana bag or container, hang on. Danny will go get the wizard bag. Hancock Park. We'll call an audible here. We'll take a break. We'll come back with another round of Who the F Sells This S.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Ever notice some of the weird stuff people are trying to sell on Craigslist?
Knife block. Perfect condition, but no knives. $1.
Sold. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we're just doing another round of Who the F Sells This S. All the nut jobs on Craigslist. We were speaking to Wizard Fantasy Gift Bag. Very special offer, $1. He's down the street, so Danny's on the way to pick up the gift bag. And again, he claims it's the highest quality gift bags ever made. You know, T.
Yeah.
How many times has this happened to you? You're walking along with your Wizard Fantasy gift bag, and boom, the bottom parts like the Red Sea.
Yeah, I mean,
and your Wizard Fantasy gifts fall to the ground.
My 8-sided dice.
Yeah, man, tough, right?
Figurines come flying down.
Well, never again. You know why?
Why?
Because Danny's on his way to pick up the highest quality Wizard Fantasy bag ever.
You've had this happen, Adam, where you're carrying your Wizard Fantasy bag, and it rubs against your pants, and the ink rubs right off because it's cheaply made.
Poorly made.
Right.
That's right.
Don't need it.
Don't need the low-quality Wizard Fantasy bag. So Danny's on the way to that. But before we talk to that man, we're going to talk to Michael. Now, Michael's backstory is he has a marijuana container.
Now, is that different than just a regular container? Is there something special about it?
Well, I don't know. You see, back in the day, people kept their pot in film canisters.
Yeah.
But now with all these digital cameras, what are the kids going to do?
That is a problem.
Where you hold your pot? In your Wizard Fantasy bag?
Wait a minute. Quality.
Hold on.
If it's threadbare, your pot comes out.
That's right. I think I've just had one of the greatest ideas I've had ever. There's a round container with a marijuana leaf, not real marijuana leaf, but a picture of a marijuana leaf on the lid. It's $4. The leaf is not real. You can hold pocket change. You can hold jewelry, etc. Please do not ask me for any marijuana.
Okay.
And again, to me, everything on this thing sounds like either gay or drug code.
Right.
When I hear about a guy who's selling a cufflink for a nickel and he lives in West L.A., that's just, you come by, you get a handy, and you split. Like, to me, it must be gay code because it can't be what it says.
Right.
Maybe this is drug code. Let's talk to Michael. Michael?
Yeah.
Now, actually, you're not selling this anymore because we bought it.
You did buy it, yes.
You would not come on the air.
Yeah, unless, I'm sure that it would be sold.
Unless we bought it.
Yeah, you guys bought it. It's yours.
Now, how long have you owned this?
I've owned this about 7 or 8 years. I bought it from a head shop somewhere about 8 years ago on Melrose Avenue in L.A.
Mm-hmm. And what did you pay for it retail?
I probably paid about $10 for it. You know, just something that caught my eye to just lay on my dresser to sit around.
Right.
You know?
I understand the people that have a treadmill and then they move into a smaller place and now the treadmill's sitting in the middle of the living room and they want to get rid of it. But a stash box.
Uh-huh. Did I want to get rid of it?
It's the size of a cupcake.
Yeah, but I kind of redecorated my place, and I just been selling a lot of items that I don't need, and that's just an item I'm sick of looking at, even though it's nice and pretty cool.
You're doing like a shabby chic thing now?
Mm-hmm. Hesher Chic. And $4 you sold it for.
Yeah,
$4. $4.20?
Just $4.
Hot joke.
$4.20.
I have to PayPal fee, so $3.50.
Uh-huh, you have to pay the PayPal.
Yeah.
So by the time the man gets involved and walks with his pound of flesh, by the time...
The man takes his cut.
Your so-called PayPal, although no pal of mine would take 20% of the VIG. By the time he wets his beak, you walk with $3.50.
Right.
Right. Is it confusing when...
He's worse than the tax man. The tax man wouldn't take that much.
And, Michael, what do you do for a living, or what don't you do for a living, which is a better question, that
well,
you sell
I've
things
done, I've
that
done
are
done
the size of a cupcake for $3.50?
Well, again, I don't do this for a living.
Oh, no, you don't.
I was an attorney for a number of years, and then I made porn films.
Wait. Are you still licensed to practice law?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am.
Uh-huh.
What kind of law did you do?
I was a prosecutor.
Oh. Mm,
yeah. He did the penal code 1 through 56.
I've seen all those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Porn
those
lawyer.
Days those days are over. And my marijuana days are over, too. I haven't smoked since the 80s, but I just like collecting drug reference stuff that brings back the memories.
Right. That you forgot about. Okay,
no,
so
I haven't forgotten about it.
You were an attorney. You turned into a porn director, producer?
Porn director, producer, marketer. I had my own porn company.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get in front of the camera?
No. Got some fringe benefits after the shoot sometimes, but didn't get in front of the camera, no.
Mm-hmm.
No. It was for making money, and that was my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Not for having fun at the time.
All right, so you never stepped from behind the camera in front
of
the vagina.
I've been asked to when a guy didn't show up, but I just didn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my biggest fear. That's why I want to work on a porn set, but I know some guy's going to OD and not show up, and then everyone's going to look at me, and I'm going to be going, what? And I'll just be standing there, you know, as I always dress, with my super short cutoffs and shirtless.
Oh, I can hook you up.
Wearing one flip-flop and oiled down, holding the boom mic, going, what? What's everyone looking at me for? Next thing you know, I've ruined my career doing more gay porn.
I mean gay porn.
Why did you go from being a prosecutor to producing porn?
Well, I actually took a 10-year break in between and did other stuff, but I decided when the internet came out about 10 years ago to start doing porn.
10-year break. Michael, I can't figure out how your parents feel about this.
Not too happy.
That's
not too happy.
And I got a weird
right.
feeling he definitely is a Jew.
Michael?
Yeah. Am I a Jew? I'm a Jew.
Yeah. Well, we saw that from your $4 pot. Okay, yeah. T.
No.
So we bought...
If I was that much of a Jew, I would have covered the PayPal fees. Come on.
So we...
but you're still upset about it.
No,
you can't let those fees go.
No, not at all. Not
so,
at all.
Michael.
I'm putting up items as we speak. Go ahead.
Are you a single man?
Yes, I am.
Hold on. Shocking. Shocking. It's a good thing I was sitting down. And are you looking for love?
I am currently looking for love.
On Craigslist?
No, I have put some ads up there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. And
not under the
J-Date?
Casual encounter type things, more for a relationship type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you on J-Date?
No, I'm not.
And, you know, you're going to end up with one of these chicks who, like, goes back to her friend after the first date and, like, another attorney porn director.
I've already had some bad experiences.
Yeah, not another one. All right, Michael. Well, thanks for the stash.
Sure.
I'll tell you what I think we'll do. Jake wants our marijuana container.
Oh.
Perhaps, wait a minute. I hear there's more backstory on Michael.
Oh.
So says Teddy.
Can we
talk
to Teddy?
Phone guy. Teddy, can you patch yourself up? What did you learn?
Who screams these
calls?
Well,
Mike, he drew a pretty hard bargain to get on the radio. He had all types of stipulations first before he would actually talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear them?
Yes.
Sure. Sure.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
On one hand, and let me tell you something, Teddy, I'm being honest with you.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
On one hand, I think, wow, this is super boring. On the other hand, I seem so dynamic compared to you. I kind of like it. So go ahead.
Well, he was actually the dustbuster guy that we talked to last week.
Oh, yes. Guy was selling a dustbuster.
Wow.
He was really mad at me because apparently we promised him that we were going to buy the dustbuster.
Mm-hmm.
didn't get back to him, and now he said, I'm not getting on this radio show.
Well, you don't call a man and promise to buy Dustbuster and then back out.
You know what? To be fair, I promised to buy the Dustbuster, and I actually do. I do owe him.
Yes.
You do?
Wow.
Although I like the way you call it douched.
I
Freudian
do.
Slip there. All right. Well, listen, you should go get the Dustbuster. We have the pot container, and we have actually someone who's interested in it. Let's see if I can get a little what I call wham, walking around money. Jake?
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
Hey, Jake, I got a beautiful stash. It's a pot container. It's got a pot leaf on it.
Not
it's
real.
It's yours, not a real pot leaf. It's an inch and a half deep. It goes 3 1/4 by an inch and a half, and it's yours for only $6. What do you say, buddy?
You know what? That sounds extremely good. Especially, can I get Lisa to go ahead and just touch that for me? Any place is fine, and I'll go ahead and I'll think that's worth the $6.
Mm. Lisa's the girl who was selling the bacon tray?
Yeah, I think so.
Thanks, Steve. Because I tune out almost immediately when people say their names. Hey, Jake?
Yeah.
All right. What are you going to do with the pot container?
You know what? I was thinking of tipping a little, man, that's a really small pot container, man. I might have to just smoke out of it.
Yeah, that's what you use. That's what we call it, your stash, because if it's the size of a Buick, it's not a stash anymore. If guys riding on bicycles hit it and go over the top of it, that's not a stash anymore.
Oh, man, that's tiny, dude. That's real tiny.
All right, well, listen, I don't like your tone, Jake. I'm going to take my offer off the table and sell it to someone who wants to give it a good home.
All right. I'll take it.
All right. Hang on. We'll sell it to you. You know, I could see myself being sort of a broker. You know what I mean? Like a Craigslist broker. Like I get in between the guys with the $5 bacon trays and the used tennis balls. I don't actually take delivery of the stuff.
Right.
I'll put it back on the radio. We'll bump up 20, 25%. At the end of the week, we'll walk with like $3.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, do we have an outro, Bald Brian?
That's who the f*** sells this sh*t.
When we come back, I think we'll do our Week in Rage. That's right, it's Friday. We have Ranchero music, alternative schools, CNN interviewing people who don't know anything, Having My Baby, the song.
Paul Anka.
Outperforming Rosalita, one of the great ones, the boss does. And foreigners trying to rock and roll, make dessert, and do other things that Americans only do. We'll take a quick break. Back with the Week in Rage, and the Dooch Man should be back with his wizard bag as well next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. It's time for This Week in Rage.
I'm angry.
Where we count down the top five things that made Adam mad this week.
I'll crack your old ass like kindling and kick your ass right to the curb, you old farts.
Gentlemen, start your anger.
Bring it on.
Here's Adam.
Well, before we get to the Week in Rage, Danny has arrived at the place where the wizard bags reside. Again, the high-quality $1 wizard bags. Danny?
Yes, sir.
Are you in front of the man's home?
I'm standing in front of the man's home with his large brass zebra.
Uh-huh.
Maybe 7 feet tall.
And that's in...
And by the way, I want to point this out. It's actually very pretty. It's a nicely done piece of art.
And he has the wizard bags. Have you examined one of the wizard bags?
I stood right here in the street till Adam Carolla told me what he wanted me to do. I'm standing outside and have not knocked on this man's door.
Oh, I see.
They go and I'm gone.
All right, well, do me a favor. Do that move where you toss your cigarette in slow motion at his house, because it'll blow up. I've said this many times.
Sorry.
You could take, if you smoke and you flick your cigarette on the ground, it does nothing but just burn out. But if you flick it in slow motion, you could flick it at a pile of cinder blocks and it would just poof, go up in flames.
The body of the giraffe is too easy. And I'm at least 10 feet away and $5 says I can get him in the head.
Well, go bang on the door and see if what's-his-nose with the wizard bags
comes out. Snag the giraffe. All right, we're running up this flight of stairs. And running's not my thing.
In his high heel boots.
Yes.
Central Pacific Alarm Company that says on the door to protect those bags, I'm thinking.
Well,
sir. How are you?
Good.
My name is Danny Bonaducci, and you are?
Ed.
Ed, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Nice to see you. Very nice home, Ed. You don't look like a freak.
Well.
Tell, Danny,
yes.
Tell Ed you'd like to examine one of the wizard bags and make some sort of excuse to go to the basement and see how fast he dives in front of the door.
Okay, if I might, because I'm talking about my boss. This is not the Danny Bonaducci, it's not the Adam and Danny, it's the Adam Carolla Show.
Right.
I have been asked to examine these in private for any kind of counterfeiting or anything like that. Can I take one of your wizard bags down to your basement? No, down to your basement before I leave. There is no basement?
Right.
Okay, I can't take a Duke in his bag.
And in a chilling twist, he made love to the corpse.
What I'd like you to do, Danny, now that he's lied about not having a basement, is fling open every single door and yell, aha, and then go to the second floor and do the exact same thing.
Hold on.
What if this guy's dangerous?
You're right. Danny can handle him.
That's true.
All right, Danny, wait a minute.
Wait, give me one chance at least.
Mm-hmm.
One chance at least. Hang on.
Now he places the lotion in the basket.
Ready?
Yeah.
How's that?
Just coats hanging in a closet or old woman sitting on a toilet?
The refrigerator.
But Danny,
imagine if his mom's on the pot. Oh, refrigerator.
What does Ed look like? A brief description of Ed.
Looks like a thicker, and I don't mean fat in any way, he's in good shape, but I mean because John Waters is so thin.
Oh, no.
Without the mustache, without the pearls, which is weird because it doesn't seem like you could look like John Waters.
He's like a creepy John Waters.
A creepy, slightly more effeminate.
He's a gayer, creepier John Waters.
Would you like to talk to him?
Hey, Ed? Yeah.
Hey,
Ed?
Hi, this is the less creepy John Waters.
Right.
Not by much.
I know you've got a big day ahead of you of feverishly masturbating and looking at fat women to complete the suit. So I'll make this fast.
Was she a great big fat person?
Give Danny a wizard bag. Have Danny give you a dollar.
I've given him several of them.
Oh, okay. Make sure he gets a receipt. That's for Teresa.
Yeah, he says
she keeps screaming.
Right,
we can write this off during the commercial break.
Yeah, it's a write-off. I mean, it's part of a bit.
That's right.
And if you find them reasonably nice, you keep them.
All right.
Not trash.
All right. And I'll tell you whether it's the highest quality wizard gift bag I've ever had.
Yeah, what do I get out of it?
I won't be able to do it over the air. I'll have to take it home and compare it to my museum of high quality wizard bags.
Right, the ones that are in the loose.
Right. I have 20 or 30 I carry with me in my car, but that's not the entire.
You have a whole room at your home.
Right.
The wizard bag room.
That's
right.
We really call that. That's what the house is. Also, good name for TSV. Hey, Ed.
That pointy hat just hurt.
Hand the phone back to Danny, please.
You got it. Okay. Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
Where are you? I know you're probably in a rush, but so I'm in the guy's house, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really nicely done.
Mm.
I mean, there's a painting on this wall here. I'm going to go for $25,000 on that.
Mm.
Is that right? Close. Okay. There's other modern art I don't know. The price of modern art, because I don't know much about it, but I'm guessing it's definitely real and definitely expensive. There's art. It's well decorated. That's fair enough. But here's where we go awry. Here are beautiful Asian prints where they're pounded out tin. And here is, I'm guessing, Hannibal. No, Cambodia. Okay, you got me up. Asians. And
somebody
elephants.
Riding on an elephant.
Right. But here's where we lose them, man. Are you ready?
Hmm.
I would say there are more than 3,000 miniature
cats,
knights, samurai, castles.
No, he was gay 5 minutes ago too. Now
I'm
he's back to straight.
Dude, I mean, what else?
Hawaiian.
But you made all of these? Oh, you get gayer by the second, bro.
I don't know. I think he's going geeky.
Yeah.
He's going geeky, not gay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fine line, but yeah.
It's hard to hate him. The house. You wouldn't have thought this for $1 million that he lives in at least $1 million house, which has at least $500,000 in decorations. It's gorgeous.
Well,
and then he throws you with the miniatures he hand made that are gorgeous.
Danny, will you ask him when was the last time he had sex and with which gender?
Excuse me, sir. When was the last time you had sex and with which gender?
Female.
Female? On Wednesday.
Really? Yeah. 1987.
That was Wednesday.
That's right.
Was so she had to wear a wizard bag.
It was on a Wednesday. Well, Danny, it's
I'm looking at a picture of the girl. Can I be honest with you?
Mm-hmm.
Because she's my type totally, which is weird someday. Mm-hmm. She's a beautiful Asian woman.
Ah, well, good times.
This guy is a total conundrum.
Well, Danny, it's going to be a shame for you to have to torch the place, but rules are rules. Okay, so do that. Make it look like an accident, possibly suicide, and hustle back to the studio.
I'm on my way. I just want to repeat what you said. Adam said, and I'll put this up a little more nicely.
Right.
If we like the bag, you said keep them, right?
Correct.
And what happens if we don't like the bag? If we don't like the bag, I will be visiting you again. Okay, do we understand each other?
Got it. Yeah.
All right. It was an absolute pleasure and a surprise. Ooh, you're a tad clammy, and that wasn't a surprise. I'm on the way back, boss.
All right. Good job, Danny.
Rubs the lotion on its skin, or else it gets the hose again.
Yeah, Danny hops on that bike and gets just about anywhere in 8 minutes. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break, and then when we come back, the week in rage. Ranchero music, alternative schools, CNN interviewing people that know nothing, having my baby, the song, and foreigners.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Trying to rock and roll and make dessert and other things only Americans can handle. We'll do that. The week in rage next.
One, two, holla at me. I'm Tracy Morgan, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Holla! Not you, Squeals.
All righty. Well, this Friday, that means it's time for the Week in Rage. We collect all the things I've been yelling about all week long. We put them up on the website. You guys vote. Ranchero Music, 11%. Alternative Schools, 19%. CNN interviewing people who don't know nothing, 20%. Having My Baby charting number one in 1973, and Rosalita, one of the Boss's best songs, not making it into the top 10, not charting at all. That came in at 23%, and at 26%, Foreigners trying to do the stuff we do better, such as rock and roll. Shall we get started?
This Week in Rage.
I'm angry.
What a dick.
I pay taxes, bitch.
What? Number 5.
Well, an oldie but a goodie, Ranchero Music. I'm tired of being so culturally sensitive. Everyone has to pretend like everything is good. Hey, Germany decide to kill Jews. Is that just their thing? Should we just get out of the way, or can we judge? There are parts of Africa where they like to mutilate young women's vaginas. Is that just their thing? Should we just get out of the way, or can we judge? Ranchero Music, everybody. I live in Southern California, and I've had an impacted asshole of this horrible accordion-driven music, if you can call it that. Yes, I work construction. Yes, Ozzy has his piped into my house 24/7. And it is made to annoy. I know what's going on. You see, Whitey, you don't understand. You go back, you put on your Birkenstocks, and you head back to your alternative lifestyle and your Prius to your life partner over there in the People's Republic of Santa Monica, and you don't know what's going on. I know what's going on. They're trying to drive us off our land. Because eventually we're all just going to get so full of this Ranchero music, it's going to be like this. It's going to be like, hey, play that Ranchero music. Come on, play more of it. We're going to be standing around, and I'm going to go, hey, we could finish that cinder block wall, or we could just pack it up and go to Canada. What do you say? Let's go. Pack up the wagon. Let's go to Canada. That's it. They're trying to drive us off our land with the world's dumbest music. And I'm the proud father of twins. And the whole time the kids were in Mama, all I heard was play classical music for them. Why? Why do you play the kids classical music? Oh, because somebody's done tests and it turns out it makes them smarter. Okay, fine. If there's music that can make you smarter, well, isn't there music that can make you dumb? Right. So I'm going to ask you guys a quick question. One of these cultures has a space program. The other has a space shuttle shaped as a donkey. Who invented the rocket? Who cannot build a biplane? in the year 2007. Perhaps the music does make you dumb. Look, let's stop being so culturally sensitive. Everyone pipe up, announce that that music blows huge donkey ass, and demand that it be shut off, and let's move forward. Where are we? Alternative schools. That's right. Alternative. Alternative to what? Learning. Yeah, it's great. It's a great school. You show up at noon, you leave at 1 o'clock, you smoke a cigarette, and you call your teacher Pat. Awesome. You see, when you can't get along because Johnny doesn't like to be disciplined, or Johnny doesn't like to do homework, or Johnny doesn't like to study, well, we don't take Johnny and put him in a place with no rules. We need to take Johnny and put him in a place with more rules so that Johnny can be disciplined to do that. Because unless there's some alternative job, alternative relationship, alternative world that I'm not aware of, we need to do away with this alternative schooling. See, it would be great if you could go from your alternative school where you barely show up, use the F-bomb at your teacher, smoke cigarettes, play some hacky sack, score some weed, yell at the man, and then go home. If you could then graduate and go to some job that existed that I'm aware of where you didn't need to show up, you could smoke weed, eat yourself a burrito, play a little hacky sack, and go home. If that job existed, then alternative school is awesome. But until then, all we have is junior college, which is the next logical extension of alternative schooling. Remember, it's called alternative. Alternative to learning. Ah, CNN. I was watching CNN.
Number three.
This morning, and I saw this guy talk about alternative schooling. This is one of the guys.
I don't know. I ain't justifying nothing. I ain't saying he did the right thing. But I'm saying he got pushed for a long time and asking people to help, 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 and nobody helped. You know?
Who did he ask for help?
I don't know. I'm sitting here. I ain't saying that. I'm just saying I know him as a person.
What about the guns, Joe? Do you know where he got the guns?
That's what I just said to him. I would like to know where the hell them guns come from, because that boy should have never had access to any.
You don't know nothing. That's right. CNN, any other folks that don't know nothing you could put a microphone in front of? I wasn't there. I didn't know the kid that shot up the school. Perhaps you should talk to me, because I don't know nothing as well. And guess what? Guess who else doesn't know nothing? The people watching the guy who don't know nothing. Now, talking to a neighbor, talking to a relative, talking to a loved one, talking to someone who witnessed a thing, that's fine. But if they don't know nothing, then you don't have no story, and thus we get more sports. All I'm saying is if you don't know nothing, take the mic, pull it off the guy's hand, and hit him in the head with it. I want to hear him one more time, Bald Brian. Find him. All right, too much trouble for you? Screw it. I'm moving on.
Number two.
Having my baby. Paul Anka. Now, I hated this song, and then I found out it went to number one, and then I hated it more, and then I found out one of my favorite Bruce Springsteen songs, Rosalita, did not even chart. The song was number one. Bonaducci has a better singing voice. And it's weird, creepy, and intrusive. He's got a baby growing in you. This song, nope, didn't chart. I'm moving to Europe. This is the society we're living in, everybody. We're living in a society where this song never made the charts, and Having My Baby was number one.
And what do you think you're going to accomplish by moving to Europe when this song that did chart, Rosalita, came from a guy from Jersey?
Well, all I can say about Europe is at least they don't have NASCAR.
And at least they don't have Jersey.
I can bring my iPod. All right. Oh, now, number one. Foreigners trying to rock and roll. We heard this story earlier in the week. I think it was out of some former Soviet whatever.
Yeah, Georgia.
Yeah.
Republic of Georgia.
Every once in a while, some white guy with a thick accent thinks he's going to start himself a rock and roll band. Or worse, rap. Do we have the music? Here we go.
She's crazy like a fool.
I think this group is called Boney M.
What about Daddy Cool?
Borat Raps is basically what it is. You understand, we have musicians. We have fine rappers. We got your Eminem. We got your Snoop Daddy.
Yeah, 50.
We got your 50, Puff Johnny. We got your, we got your 50 Cent. And then there's something called FedEx. We can go ahead and send you real music. So, keep your rap music. Keep your horrible desserts. Let us do the driving. Look, when we need some... Please, I'm going to vomit. When we need some weird porn that's illegal in this country, we'll call you. Until then, keep the rap music under wraps. Wow, what a way to go out.
Until next time.
Hold on a second.
This week.
Oh, what an ass.
In rage.
Do you feel better?
I do. I feel like a purge. Paul Bryan?
Yes, sir.
Find the guy I don't know nothing.
Oh, no.
And see if you can mash that up with the guy who's been tased.
Oh,
that's
going to
be your challenge.
Meanwhile.
All right. Now, we're going to take a break. I'll let you do that during the break. T?
Yep.
How about you sell a little news?
Ann Coulter hates the Jews. But unfortunately, she said it out loud to Donnie Deutsch, and I've got it.
She's a heavy set performance artist of color.
This is all a routine. Coulter?
This is all a routine. Oh. We're all just dancing.
It's an Andy Kaufman thing.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. Ann Kaufman. All right, we'll take a break, and then the I don't know nothing, don't tase me, bro, mashup from Paul Bryan, yes?
We'll see.
All right.
Wow, it's officially Talktober, Adam.
real quick, like, Eugene?
Hey, what's up?
You're calling from Barcelona, Spain?
Yeah. I called before. Don't you remember
right.
me?
Right. You listen online. It says here, I got you your job. How did that work?
A year ago, I was looking for a job, and I was listening to the show, and you said, hey, you flunked a couple years of school.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is, say you went to Europe, and
right.
then that's why you lost those 2 years. And then
right. When you're held back.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
right.
That's what I did. Instead, I said I went to the States and learned my English, and then I flunked 2 years. But
right.
anyway, and then
but
I
you
got
do,
a job.
But you have an accent and an excuse. I'm talking about dumb white people. When you're talking to a dumb white guy, instead of someone going, "You graduated high school and you're 19. What's up?" You go, "Oh, I went to Europe for a couple of years. My family's from Europe. We went when I was 12, so I was held back 2 grades. And all of a sudden, you become an international traveler instead of a doofus.
For me, I did. I was being interviewed in a Whatever Happened To column, which,
mm-hmm.
by the way, I did probably 100 of. And I'm wondering if that many people wonder where I am, how'd I get lost?
Right.
You know, how many people could be interested in where I am and not know? But
yeah.
anyway, it was embarrassing for the longest time. Where are they now? That
right,
kind of crap.
Right.
And for years, I had nothing. I didn't do a job. I didn't get one day on TV. And then I realized everybody knows I'm a black belt. Everybody knows I know how to use the weapons and can do stuff. I put myself in Hong Kong making martial arts movies
Smart.
For the last 3 years. And then I came back. That's why there's nothing on my resume.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I didn't tell anybody. And Gretchen and I were married 5 years. Well, we went to Asia for the first time.
All of a sudden, you're Steven Seagal.
She goes, what's this place like? Is this one nice? I said, I've never been to Asia, ever. She goes, I read in People magazine that you lived there. And I went, dude, I was lying so I wouldn't look like a failure.
Yeah.
So it applies, man. This works.
I know. Just say you left the country for 2 years, and all of a sudden you become, some commander leading some expedition somewhere.
Hey,
Eugene?
Yeah.
What time is it in Barcelona right now?
6:12.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey,
but,
we need to take a break.
Thing.
What?
Okay.
All right, but listen. I want you to promise me 2 things.
What?
Don't make any rap music. And leave the desserts to the pros, all right?
Okay.
All right. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. It is weird that guy is 6,000 miles away right now. Talking to us, and it's a totally different time, and he's probably high. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Brian's Don't Tase Me Dude mashup and the news next. Hi, Ann. You're late, baby doll.
Somebody gave me the wrong number.
I
Ann Coulter.
My publicist emailed it to me after checking with you.
She's a bitch. A bitch who can't keep a drop shut. So ace hung
up. Did you really just hang up on Ann
yes.
Coulter?
She's tied on time.
I agree with that. On that shrill heartbeat.
But I am really tight on time right now.
He told that Seabiscuit lookalike.
All right, we'll get lost.
To take a hike. A telephone he did slam in her ear. He made her shrill voice disappear. She's a right-wing shrew. And Ace doesn't have time to deal with the rants of Mr. Ann Coulter.
Rich Banks should be nominated for something like a Grammy or something for that song.
I love that song.
You won an Ace Award last year.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Well, listen, Weird Al, we love you, but hell, you ain't no Rich Banks.
That's right.
All right, T.
Yeah.
What's in the news, baby girl? And are you ready, Bald Brian, for your mashup?
I think so. You
want to
hear that first?
Let's hear the news, but let's not forget to hear the Bald Brian, Don't Tase Me, Dude, I Don't Know Nothing mashup. T.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today.
Ann Coulter back in the news, and it looks like it's shrew versus Jew. She was on Donnie Deutsch's CNBC show, The Big Idea, Monday night, and the columnist slash author suggested that the United States would be a better place if there weren't any Jewish people and that they needed to perfect themselves into Christians. Let's take a listen.
Do you know what Christianity is? See, we believe your religion, but you have to obey.
No, but
we have the fast track program.
Well, we might put you with the head of Iran. I mean, come on, you can't believe that.
The head of Iran is not a Christian.
No, but
I don't
in fact, let's wipe,
Israel.
Let's wipe Israel off the earth. I mean, what, there, no Jews?
No, we think we just want Jews to be perfected, as they say.
Wow, you didn't really say that, did you?
Yeah, no, that's what Christianity is. We believe the Old Testament, but ours is more like Federal Express. You have to obey laws.
What can blue and white do for you? Oh, no, wait a minute. That's the other one. Yeah, look, she does this so she can sell books. What is she, if not this? I mean, what's left of her? Do we know her name? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
What would she do? How many books would she sell? Would she just be another skinny, aging chick who one wants to see on TV?
I didn't even hear of her until the Firefighters' Wives. Mm-hmm. And then Jess said stunt to sell books.
She called them harpies,
yeah,
I think.
No publicity is bad publicity, which is not true at all. People are forgiving, but not about that.
Right.
But then she sold the books, and now she's going further and further and further. And I forgot all about her. And then she hit on me at a party. And she's
Man, 6 foot something.
And I was wearing like normal shoes because I was wearing a tux.
If she was too masculine for you...
Don't get me wrong. I'd have boned her while she hated every ethnic group in the world. I don't care.
Maybe,
sex is sex.
Maybe she just wanted to make out because she wanted to smoke.
You know that? Somebody said that.
Like smoking a pack of cigarettes, making out with Danny.
A girl in the elevator said that just yesterday as a joke. She goes, I just quit smoking. Would you kiss me?
Yeah.
But you know what she's saying? You stink.
Oh, yeah.
No. Maybe she just wanted to kiss you.
No.
You do not
maybe.
Stink.
All right. Yeah, so Coulter's doing what Coulter does.
Yeah, although Deutsch says he thinks she's finally crossed the line and that even she realized it and started to back down.
I feel sorry for them because, look, all religion is, everyone's nuts. It's all pie-in-the-sky nonsense. And when you see the guy walking around with the black hat and the black robe and the payos and the whole thing, he's nuts. He's nuts. And when you see his 9-year-old kid who's dressed like the 65-year-old rabbi who's wearing the black suit in the dead of summer walking down Fairfax, that's child abuse. But it's all just nuts, and the Jews are the most harmless of the nut jobs. That's the way I look at
it. They're extremists in every religion. Mormons have extremists. Christians have people who blow up abortion clinics.
Right. It's all fantasy, nuts, and fine. The Jews are the least problematic of all the nutty religions. That's basically the way I look at it. I mean, the least problematic.
They made my brother's little tiny house, you know, in North Hollywood very well, don't you?
Yes.
What do you think of the corner of, like, Victory and Van Owen as a corner?
It's normally not a good corner.
Right. You know, my brother's little tiny house
too
is worth...
Too many Catholics. But go ahead.
No, that's why. You know what it's worth? About $800,000. Want to know why?
The Jews.
They built a synagogue at the end of the street. Right. And they can't drive there.
Right.
On
if it's
days.
An Orthodox synagogue, you've got to walk there.
The place jumped from 400,000 to 800,000 the day the synagogue was complete.
Well, again, it's all nutty, pie-in-the-sky nonsense, but these are people that don't blow up buses in the name of their nonsense. Go ahead. Sorry, T.
Speaking of nutty, I'm starting to think Rita Cosby is nuttier than originally.
Really?
Thought. Yeah, we had her on the show, and she seemed to be making sense.
She's talking about Anna Nicole and the gay love affair.
Right. She's written this book claiming that Howard K. Stern and Larry Burkhead are gay lovers.
Mm-hmm.
And this claim is based mainly on the testimony of two former nannies of Anna Nicole who claim they saw a videotape of Howard and Larry having sex and that Anna Nicole loved watching it. A tape of a conversation between Rita Cosby and a man by the name of Lincoln Baines, who's a TV reporter in the Bahamas, has surfaced.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
Well, Lincoln Baines, for some reason, was acting as a representative for these two nannies. And they had a conversation about compensating the nannies, etc. And during the conversation, which Lincoln Baines was taping, he discovers that Rita Cosby has a tape recorder.
I understand their situation, so I'm trying to. Tom's trying to help them. You know, I understand their issue. You know, I understand that, but also you have to. You understand mine.
What's that?
No, no, grab it. We don't have anything.
What's that?
We don't have anything.
What?
We have a phone. That's my phone. Give me that. Link, give me that. That's my phone.
This is not a phone.
Open. I'll play it for you. Let me tell you what we're doing here.
Busted.
Yeah, and then Rita Cosby starts to get desperate and begs Lincoln Baines to understand that she's trying to help him.
Let me tell you one thing. Can I ask you one quick question, Lincoln?
What?
Please, let me pull you aside here. 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you what we came here for to give you? And I want to tell you this. What we have for you is we have an offer from the magazine that want us to do it. I can't pay you. That's the problem. You have to understand that. I can't pay you.
I don't want you to pay me.
No, but can I say
Hold
something?
On. Let me Lincoln. Call a lawyer.
No,
let
no,
me
Lincoln.
Call a lawyer.
Lincoln, let me ask you one quick question.
Yeah.
I need you to understand that we came here to help you, Lincoln.
Lincoln, you came here to help yourself,
yeah,
Rita.
No, no,
don't
no,
give
no.
me that. That
Lincoln,
yeah.
No, no, no. Lincoln, can I say
don't
one?
Give me that.
Lincoln, can I say one thing? You've been asking me for money since we came down here.
I was not.
No. But I was not. I want to help you with this.
That is
phone.
A lie. See now, you're going to lie to me.
I'm not going
to
say a word then.
You're going to lie to me.
Can I say one thing?
Then we could deal with this on another level.
There's nothing that's not on
what?
Tape anymore.
Did anybody catch that?
What?
That last word.
Deal with me on another level?
Yeah. Do you know what that means?
Means pay.
I'll punch you right in the face.
Ah.
You want to pay me? You want to lie to me? You want to do this here right now?
We'll do it
Why
on another
Why don't we deal
level?
With this on another level? That's the exact same words as step outside. Exact.
Yeah.
He was saying, I will punch you in the face. I don't care that you're a girl.
I just now realize
I know this kind of stuff because I just, you know, hit girls every now and again.
Since every,
Kidding, by the way,
wow,
please
just
don't
reminded rush. Me of something I needed to do.
What?
Hit a girl in the face?
No, but...
Free nose job.
One swing. One of,
not done with this nose.
You know, they're not free. Robert Shapiro broke my nose and I never charged him.
One of the greatest, clips ever is of Deacon Jones, the all-pro.
Yeah, I know this.
And who was on the Los Angeles Rams for many years explaining to the NFL films guy how he could get past a man because he invented something that is now outlawed. It's the head slap.
Right.
And he's explaining when you go upside a man's head with your fist, you get past him because he blinks and that's how you beat the guy who's blocking you. But as he explains it, when you go upside a man... Or a woman's head. They blink and you get past them. Somebody sent me that clip. It was on YouTube, and somebody sent it to our website, and we'll dig it out for you because I wanted to play it for everybody.
As you say, his intention was to be politically correct.
It's hard to tell when you listen to it because he's talking to an NFL films guy about his NFL films technique. And last I checked, there's not many chicks playing offensive line in the NFL. So you're explaining your move. Like if you're saying, hey, tell us about your patented spin move. And I said, well, when a tackle goes to block and you go around a man or a woman, I don't know why you would add woman. You're talking about the game and there are no women that play the game. Although it would be nice if we went upside Ann Coulter's head.
You know what? I think he was. I'm sticking with politically incorrect because it was so important in those days that you said, you know, if the manager team comes up to me and he says, or she,
right.
It just got stuck in your head. I used to do it all the
time. Well, you'll hear
and
it.
And he's not the brightest man in the world.
You'll hear it and you'll tell us. And by the way, if you hit Ann Coulter in the side of the head, you're liable to poke out an eyeball.
How about if I hit her on the side of the head just because you want me to and you take care of my legal bills?
She's a horse. All right.
Well, listen, we've got to get to the mashup. Do I have time for one last story?
Sure.
I will make it quick. If you had an hour to live, what would you do?
I'd rape everyone in this room, including Molly, repeatedly. Sorry, girl, but you knew it was part of the deal. That's right.
A survey coming out of ZG Publishing in England asked people this very question. If an asteroid was about to hit the Earth and you had just 1 hour left, what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
Probably most people's first thought is a little like yours.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more on the consensual side, but they would. You'd think most people would want to have sex with their last hour.
Well, look.
Dude, why would you not consent?
It's a decent point.
Believe it or not, only 9% of people said that sex is the first thing that they would do. The most common answer, 54% of people say they'd like to spend the hour either with their loved ones or on the phone with them. 13% would just sit back, accept it, and drink alcohol.
Well, wait a minute. I would rape my loved ones and a banana cream pie.
Yeah, me too.
That's funny you should say that because 2% would eat fatty food with their last hour on Earth. I wish I was kidding. Cheese fries, a pizza. Nice.
Yeah, waiting for the pink dot guy to show up.
Hurry up.
God, 52
minutes.
Chicken time bomb.
I love that man of mine.
I think I would go, I would rape a banana cream pie. I would take my two activities and I would combine them.
Well said. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news. The United States would be a better place if there weren't any Jewish people.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Brian, you got to pot down those mics during the commercials when T's just talking. All right, now, we have the Deacon Jones. We'll try to dig that out. Brian, can you find that?
Yeah. I also have wizard bags.
Oh, yeah, we have wizard bags. I'll tell you what, let's tease the Deacon Jones. Let's play the mashup.
Oh, boy.
Now, this was my challenge to you. Can you take the CNN I don't know nothing guy and mash it up with the don't tase me bro guy?
Here we go.
Here we go.
Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me.
I don't know.
He's good.
Well done.
I still like the nothing part.
You heard how short it was, just him saying, I don't know. Like, and he actually never says, I don't know. He says, like, I ain't saying nothing. Then he says, like, I don't know. Yeah. That's the best I could do.
All right. Good time.
It was beautiful.
We'll take a break. When we come back, NFL picks, wizard bags exposed, and Deacon Jones in one of the classic NFL clips of all time. Next.
Professional football in America is a special game. The men who play it make it so.
It's time for the Adam Carolla Show's NFL Picks. With gridiron experts Danny Bonaducci, Teresa Strasser, and Adam's dog Molly.
Football is a rough game and often a cruel one.
NFL Picks.
Every time you lose, you die a little bit.
Now, Adam Carolla.
Well, as promised, before we get to our picks, Deacon Jones, David Deacon Jones, NFL Hall of Famer and Hall of Fame misogynist as well. Deacon, as I've mentioned, and somebody was kind enough to go to AdamCarolla.com and finally post this. I saw it a couple years ago on NFL Films. I've never heard anyone talk about it, but this is Deacon Jones. Keep in mind, the blackest, biggest man you've ever seen in your life, being interviewed in the 70s, talking about his patented head slap technique. Here he is.
I developed the thing they call a head slap. The head slap was to do two purposes. One was to give myself an initial head start on the pass rush. In other words, an extra step. Because anytime you go upside a man's head or a woman, then they have a tendency to blink their eyes or close their eyes, and that was all I needed.
Or a woman. Now, meanwhile, he's talking about the technique he uses on the playing field. Evidently, he took it home as well, too. I'm just so glad and delighted that he included women in the head slap.
It's only politically correct. There's no glass ceiling, and now there's no glass floor for them to hit either.
Or glass jaw.
Or she.
Let's hear one more. I want to hear it one more time. The whole thing.
I developed the thing they call a head slap. The head slap was to do two purposes. One was to give myself an initial head start on the pass rush. In other words, an extra step. Because anytime you go upside a man's head or a woman, then they have a tendency to blink their eyes or close their eyes, and that was all I needed.
That's all I needed.
That's all I needed.
Go upside a man.
It's hard to see
when
you're
getting slapped. That's all I needed.
All right, you guys ready to do a little football game?
Yeah. I'm ready to go.
Money going to charity. The Ace Man, 10-6. Against the spread, Danny 7-9, Teresa 9-7, and Molly 3-9.
Real quick, what's that mean? Who's winning?
I'm winning, and when you say against the spread, look, you watch all these games where people pick. It's easy, you know, when the Patriots are playing Cleveland, it's easy to pick the Patriots. They're a far superior team. But when you factor in the 17 points they're giving away, well, then it makes it a little bit harder. And
I do understand the spread. When you said 7-9, I don't know if
I'm just saying all the guys you see on TV who are like, hey, I won 12-4 this week. Yeah, because you picked the Patriots and you didn't factor the spread in. See, they're pussies. They don't want to mention that there's gambling on TV, so they don't work the spread in. All right, but we do it against the spread, like men, right, T?
Right.
Right.
Spread them, man. All right, first game, Washington. Washington Redskins at Green Bay. Green Bay got their first loss last week. T, what do you think?
I think Green Bay should cover. I think they have it in the wizard bag.
Say 3.5 points is what they're giving away to Washington. I made this proclamation. Once Green Bay lost, they'd go on some sort of skid where they lost like 3 in a row. But, man, I love Favre and the team so much this year. The Skins are good this year. Half point, close game. I say Green Bay wins by just a field goal, and I win by half a game. I'm going with Washington on this. Bonaducci?
What are my options here? I'm going to go with
Green Bay. That's right. And Molly. We put the food down scientifically. Molly's gone for the 3x5 card that says Washington. She agrees with her owner. Now, next game, New Orleans. The hapless New Orleans Saints going up against Seattle. At Seattle. Seattle is spotting them 7 points. T?
I'm taking Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Well, everyone keeps wondering, when the hell is New Orleans going to win? Seattle's starting to get on track and look a little bit better. I think they won.
Good D last week.
Yeah, did they win 21-0? But 7 points. I'm going to go New Orleans to get back on track. I know it's a crappy bet.
You know what? I'm going to go with, let's see, my choices, anything Adam said or Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Seattle on this.
I think that's a good bet. But again, 7 points. All right, Molly goes for the New Orleans Saints. Sticking with Papa for 2 in a row. You're going to get some extra loving tonight, Molly. All right, now we're going to Oakland at San Diego. Our own Oakland Raiders going to San Diego. San Diego spotting them 10 points. They both looked crappy 2 weeks ago. Now they both seem to be back. Oakland had the bye. They got to rest. Not the only bye in the Bay Area, I'm guessing. They had a little rest. San Diego finally came out of their shell. Looked dominant, spanking the Denver Broncos last weekend. T, how do you see it?
Well, I don't know if that was a fluke or not, but I know this. We're going to be at Camacho's in the City of Industry watching the Oakland Raiders. And it'll be much more fun if they win, so I'm taking Oakland.
All right. You're going Oakland. I'm going to go Oakland as well. 10 points seems like a lot, and Oakland seems, with Culpepper, seems pretty damn good. Danny?
All right. I can no longer drink, take drugs, or womanize. If I were to wear a San Diego jersey and continuously cheer for San Diego through the whole appearance, could I make something exciting happen? I'm taking San Diego.
1,000 Mexicans punch you all at once.
Like a little piñata.
Ever know what that feels? Ever know what it feels like to be a red-headed piñata?
Yes.
All right.
Do you know, my wife and I have a saying, my wife and I, and now I've actually passed it on to Amy. I will be, like the last time when I had this titanium plate in, and we've said this over everything, jail, I mean, the bigger the better. The second I wake up from consciousness, the first one to say it wins. You look at the other person and you go, oh, that was something to do.
That's
so
what you'll be saying
at Camacho's.
If 1,000
people punch me, once I wake up, I'll go, wow, that was something to do.
You wear your Fouts jersey,
you
will get the fist in the face.
You swear to God?
Yes.
Oh, that's two bitching, I'm doing
Molly
it.
Took Oakland. Uh-oh. This is either a great sign or an eerie harbinger of what's to come. Because Molly has chose the same teams her papa has chose the entire time. And she is 3-9. All right, New England at Dallas. Last game, Pete.
I hate to do it, but I got to take New England.
New England is giving away 6 points. Dallas barely got by. Battle the 5-5s at Dallas. Should be a good game, but we all know New England's going to win this one. I'm going with New England as well. Danny, that means you get Dallas de facto and combined points now, T.
It also means that I get America's team. I knew that.
Right.
I also get the team that for at least a while got busted more than any other team for more gnarly stuff. These are my boys. I'm taking Dallas.
Molly picked Dallas as well. So
me and Molly got a party.
Disagreeing with her owner
points.
On this one. All right, points. Dallas, New England, I don't know what the over-under is. I'm going 55.
I'll go 49.
49?
Let's see. His 55, he was 49, so we're taking some jumps. I'll go all the way down to 38.
38. Never going to happen. 55, 38, 49. That's the week. We'll take a quick break. Back to wrap it up next. What the hell happened? All right, I got to give some thanks where thanks are due. I want to thank Sean Astin, the final season in theaters today. Teresa Strasser, TMZ, BFD. Tonight, never miss it, 6:30, where I am. Check your local listings. Hey, me, Danny, and Teresa are going to be at Camacho's City of Industry Sunday. Doors open at 10 a.m. Also, I think Lycus is going to be there. Frosty Hiding Frank. I'm telling you, if that place burns, that place burns down, our plane hits it, it'll be the day the comedy died. Danny.
Yes, sir.
What do you got?
What I going on this weekend?
You got a plug, don't you?
I got everything. Oh, this is bitching. Thank you very much for reminding me. I really do appreciate that. Where's the Von Dutch card? Because I might have screwed this up by putting it out of my way. No, I got to do this too because I really.
I'll apologize to Frosty Hiding Frank in advance.
For I would like to. It's my bad call. I put it. I don't see it. It's
well, why don't you talk from your heart about Von Dutch?
Because I think they're doing something specific, and I don't know what it is. I'll tell you this about Von Dutch, though. You know my blue Harley. Did you know Von Dutch started in the custom Harley Davidson or the custom bike business? And I said, I like you guys. You can put your logo on my gas tank if you want.
Right.
And they go, you'd really let us do that on your personal transportation? And they said, yeah. They said, how much was your bike? And I said, about 12 grand. They said, it'll be worth about 50 when we give it back to you.
Right. Yeah.
Dig this. Okay, thank you for the time. I appreciate it, and I apologize for not knowing what this was. I thought it was in Yale. Shout out to Von Dutch. That's right. They're doing some great things at the close. I've got the coat. Check out this watch. That's a Von Dutch watch. They are stepping up in the way they play their game. Get down to Von Dutch in Hollywood at 819 North La Brea, and you can register to win 2 tickets to the Adam Carolla Show's Blotto in the Grotto Halloween party at Playboy Mansion, the Playboy Mansion. And by the way, you'll also see my bike and me and Heidi shopping. We are there. I bump into her every other day at Von Dutch on the road. It rocks.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Sorry, Heidi. We'll take a extendo break.
Sorry, guys. That was my fault.
And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Shut the F up when I'm talking to you.